Rich Cooper, entrepreneur, private equity investor, content creator, best-selling author, the Unplugged Outfit book, killer podcast. You got three different ones. A pleasure to talk to you and a lot of questions for you.
Thanks for having me, man. Let's dive in.
So we just had Ed Dowden and some other guys. What exactly is private equity investor? Maybe I'm a retard. I guess you can't say that nowadays. But I still don't quite understand what that is.
Yeah, well, I got into that years ago. I don't really do so much of it anymore. But that's essentially where people are doing equity takeouts in their property and the bank won't finance it. So you do it as a private mortgage. That was just a fancy name that they put on it at the time. So I did a whole bunch of deals through my business. And personally, it's just not something I'm interested in anymore, being involved in Canadian real estate.
Yeah, I wonder why.
Yeah, we've got this prime minister. You might have heard of him.
Yeah, I've heard a little bit about him. Yeah, I heard he's not too liked.
Yeah, well, some people like him because he's still in office, right?
Yeah, I guess they're paid.
Usually the way it goes.
So now your book, The Unplugged Alpha, No Bullshit Guide to Winning with Women in Life.
Yeah.
You have an impeccable record. You know, you've taken businesses from what was it, 1 million to 106 million, you know, as an entrepreneur.
That was my business coach, actually, Cameron Harold. That was in his 1-800 Got Junk years.
Really?
Yeah. Cameron's a cool guy.
So what made you write the book? You know, right now, you know, writing a book and then selling it and trying to get it to take off, I mean, that's a tough thing to do.
Actually, it's not if you have an audience. If you have a loyal audience that watches what you do, and subscribes your podcast, your shows, whatever they happen to be, as long as you do like a good sales ramp up to the launch and you have a good launch on it, it's pretty easy to get in like the top five and stay there for several weeks at a time on Amazon. Like, the cool thing about today is there's no gatekeepers. Like 20 years ago, you needed the permission of somebody in a publishing house who sat up in an ivory tower to publish your book. Now just about anybody can do it. But you know, if you have a good cover and a good amount of content in it that's useful, then it should do well and it should speak for itself.
And then as you were building up, you know, you went to a ton of these, you know, speakers, entrepreneur lectures. How were you able to tell the bullshitters from the real ones? Because, you know, every Tom, Dick, and Harry's a speaker, every Tom, Dick, and Harry's an entrepreneur. Yeah. You know, what'd you coach, spend like a coach, quarter million yeah. going to these things? Well, how were you able to tell, you know, who was real, who was full of shit, you know, who you could put into practice and so on? Because I know a lot of people that spend a lot of money that they don't have going to these things.
Yeah. There are some people that show up in those rooms that are, you know, the fluffers, they're life coaches, you know, generally speaking, or something like that. Yeah, I mean, look, if you've built a business and you have employees and you've got awards and you've done something with your life over at least 5 to 10 years, there's a track record there. Like, people know you. So it's kind of hard to people just take you seriously when you've been around. It's the new guys that you got to question, right? You know, they have conversations like, I'm this great life coach, entrepreneur, speaker sort of thing. And then they hear that you have a debt business and then they private message you later on and like, hey man, I got 50 grand in credit card debt. What's your advice for me sort of thing? It's like, okay, well, you're clearly not the real deal.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And then what, you know, you're quoted as one of your famous lines. I love it. Rob, you're going to love this. Women don't care about your struggles. They wait at the finish line and pick the winners, or she's not yours. Yeah. It's just your turn. You know, can you elaborate a little bit on that? I mean, I get it, but that's such a great line.
Yeah, I find it's easy to do these like catchy lines that get people's attention. And guys are told their entire lives that, you know, emote, express your concerns to women, you know, cry on your shoulder and, you know, show more of your emotions. The truth of the matter is when you actually have experiences with women, you start to realize they don't really care about your struggles. And because women are hypergamous, they tend to only look for winners. So the best way to summarize that I found was, women don't care about your struggles. They hang out at the finish line and they pick the winners. So don't be a bitch. Go do the work is basically what that says.
So tell everybody a little bit about the book. We have it up. You can get it on Amazon. Tell everybody a little bit about it. I call it a playbook. I mean, you do too in the book, but it really is a playbook. Tell everybody about it. I mean, it's a bestseller. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
And then I'll start asking a bunch of questions about it.
Yeah, it's a handbook. I essentially distilled what was extremely popular on my YouTube channel, and then expanded on some areas which I thought needed some more clarification. The book's not just about getting women or retaining women. It's about lifestyle choices that men can make for betterment. I mean, there's a chapter in there about why I think every man should own a motorcycle at some point in their life, why I think every man should get into combat sports and learn how to fight. Coincidentally, I just had my first boxing match this past weekend, which I won by a slight margin. So,
that's so cool.
You know, it's not just stuff that I talk about. It's also stuff that I do, too.
And then you have your YouTube channel. You have a bunch of them. Now, you know, you're into cars. So how does the cars intertwine with the entrepreneur, with the playbook? How does that all combine in together? And what's your favorite car?
Well, let's start off with the favorite car. I think, you know, the favorite car changes. It's like, you know, when you're a kid, you kind of pine for Heather Locklear. And as you get older, there's some new like hottie that you sort of look at as you get older. So the car today that I adore is probably the Gordon Murray automotive cars. Many people in North America probably don't know what they are or who that is. But Gordon Murray designed the original McLaren F1 that sold in the 90s. And he's essentially reproduced a newer version of that car. With similar characteristics, 3-seat configuration, drivers in the middle, 2 passengers, 3.9 liter V12, naturally aspirated, manual only, $3 million car, easily be worth $25 million if you can get your hands on one in about 10 or 20 years. So setting the car thing aside, the Entrepreneurs in Cars is the name of the YouTube channel. And I just cooked that up one day because I was like, I like entrepreneurs and hanging out with them and hearing their stories. And I've always been a petrolhead, I've always been a car guy. So how do I marry those two ideas up? And I thought, well, if I just interview my friends in their success rides, I could create a YouTube channel and be like Top Gear and TED Talks at the same time. I ran out of friends with cool cars pretty quick after about 5 episodes. So I had to start talking about other stuff. You'd be surprised, you know, if you reach out to somebody that doesn't really know you and you're like, hey, I've got a YouTube channel, I'd like to interview you in your car, but I have to drive it. And, you know, you tell the stories, they're not that keen on doing that. It's only your friends that know you that are willing to do that. So I just started to fill in with other ideas. And I would talk about how I use parties to hire people, how I would use lawyers in my business. And then one day somebody came along and wrote in the comments, and this is back when my channel was still small and I would still read the comments. Somebody said something like, you should do a video on the kind of women not to date, because I guess they relied on my opinion on the other areas of life. So I did. And that video got like 100 times more views than any other video that I'd ever uploaded. So all right, if that's what they want to hear about, I've got lots of wounds in life with choices, you know, in romance, so I can talk about that too. So I kind of went down that rabbit hole and learned about the red pill and all this other stuff. And that's what got me to where I am today.
That's awesome. And, you know, a lot of that you talk about it, you know, we call it here, they're taking the man out of a man, you know, and relating that back to cars. What do you think of these electric cars? I mean, they already took the manual shift from us, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, when I was growing up, you know, you would get a girl, you put her in the car, you're manly, you know, you're shifting with the gears. Then it went to automatic. Now you got the electric car where you can't even hear it.
Yeah. No, look, man, that's the direction that we're going.
Yeah.
I don't think the internal combustion engine is going to completely disappear. I know Porsche has invested a lot of money in a company. I think it's in either Chile or Argentina. That can extract carbon dioxide from the atmosphere to make carbon neutral gasoline. So it acts and behaves exactly like gasoline. So those people with the high performance cars will always be able to buy something in the future. But they'll become a rarity. I believe they'll go up in value immensely. Look, cars are living, breathing things, right? It's, you know, suck, squish, bang, all that, like all this sort of happens. It's, you know, it's something that's got a life to it. Whereas an electric car is kind of soulless. And I understand why people like them. They like the geeky technology. They like the silence. They like the immediacy to the power. The fuel economy is great too, but I don't own an electric car. At some point, I'll probably have to, but I'll always have internal combustion engine cars for sure.
So we have your YouTube channel. Your trailer's awesome. I love the trailer. when you're sitting in the car, you're basically telling the way it is.
Yeah, that's how I do things. You know, I just call it like it is, like I see it. That hurts some feelings, but, you know, the bomber only gets flak when it's over the target, right?
Yep, that's right. And what are the 20 flags? It's in your book. You know, everybody go get the book. That's just a small piece. But when you go meet a woman, what are the 20 flags that you look for?
All right, so
you don't have to give
20
all
red
20.
Flags.
You don't have to give all 20, but some of them.
Twisted 10?
Yeah, the twisted 10.
Okay, so let's twist 10. So number one is daddy issues. She doesn't have a good relationship with her father. If a woman doesn't have a good relationship with the man of the house, the guy that, you know, she supposedly grew up with him, how do you expect her to respect and honor you as a man in a relationship or as a father of children if you guys are going to have kids? It rarely happens. The other problem, too, with daddy issues is these women tend to have borderline personality disorder or BPD. And one of the things that is connected with that is they have a fear of abandonment, and they tend to act out in ways that make abandonment certain, you know, if you can put it that way. I expand on a little bit more in the chapter, but I'll keep going. Feminists, most women today, if they identify as a feminist, they're the version of toxic feminism, where they don't actually seek any kind of equality with men. In actuality, I think we've been equal for years now, for decades even. Like, there's really nothing a woman can't do that a man can't do. It's just that they find ways to embrace victimhood. You know, the common talking point is something along the lines of, well, women only make 75 cents on every dollar that a man makes. But they refuse to take into account that, well, when you factor in a man's income versus a woman's income, men tend to take more dangerous jobs, work longer hours, commute further, experience more workplace injuries. Like, I don't see any push from feminists to move women into coal mines and garbage trucks and oil rigs, but they push to move them into the boardroom as positions like CEOs. So there's a bit of a disconnect. If you have a victim mindset, it's kind of a loser's mindset. And whenever you embrace a victim's mindset, you need to have an oppressor. So guess who the oppressor is going to be? You're a man. It's going to be you at some point. So, you know, if you want an easy, certain, you know, happy, pleasant life, generally speaking, stay away from women that identify as feminists. Women that compete with you. I don't know if you've ever dated one of these boss girls, one of these strong, boss ladies.
Oh, yeah.
But my house is bigger than yours. My car is nicer than your car. I've got that. It's like, look, I'm not here to compete with you. I'm here to compete with myself. And if you think that I want competition from an unpleasant woman, you got another thing coming. So I advise guys, you know, especially guys that are like me, chasing excellence, put it in a dent in the universe and make a lot of money to do something with their life. Stay away from those boss girls that try to compete with you. Women that keep guys from their past around. You ever dated a woman and she says, oh, I'm going to go out to lunch with my ex-boyfriend tomorrow or something like that? Really? Not on my watch. Look, if you're going to try to claim me and you want to be in a relationship with me and you don't want me to see any other girls, I'm sorry, but you're not able to hang out with ex-boyfriends from your past. No good ever comes from putting your girlfriend or your wife in a room with another man that she was intimate with in her past. So that's something that you have to consider. Violence, a woman that's violent, you know, she's got violent tendencies. I wouldn't even, like, some guys will be like, oh, well, you can just make her friends with benefits. Not if she starts throwing things at you and the police need to get called, because it's not her that they'll take away in handcuffs.
Nope.
It's probably going to be you.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So stay away from violent women. Tattoos and piercings is always a controversial one. I would probably add extended, ridiculous dagger nails to that now, which seems to be a more common thing today.
And why is that a flag? Why would that be a flag?
The dagger nails or the tattoos?
Both. Well, I could see with the tattoos, but the dagger nails, I mean, they just scare me.
Yeah, well, there's that, right? But I mean, like tattoos are typically a masculine trait, right? Like, historically, tribal, masculine men would get tattooed for those reasons. So when women start to do it, this version of culture and society today convinces women to be more masculinized. And I think that women getting tattooed now, getting sleeve tattoos and lots of tattoos all over their bodies, is a sign of them trying to be more like men. Historically, like, even when I was a kid, teenage years, 20 years, you know, my 20s, there was no women covered in tattoos. It was very rare. Like, the odd, I remember I had a girlfriend in my 20s. She had a tattoo of her heart in her bikini line. That was it. And that was like, oh, that's taboo sort of thing. And then they moved into the tramp stamps and it sort of went from there. But tattoos just show a lack of taste. It's like putting bumper stickers all over a Lamborghini. You just don't do it, right? Women are beautiful by nature. Why would you go and, like, draw all over their bodies? Let alone, believe it or not, what happens between tattoo artists and women that they tattoo. I've talked to a lot of tattoo artists and they get intimate a lot of the times too. So there's
this episode is brought to you by Manscaped.com. Breaking news, Manscaped now sells beard products. That's right. They are once again revolutionizing men's grooming with brand new Beard Hedger Pro Kit. From a beard trim to a fresh shave, the technology behind Beard Hedger Pro Kit allows you to shave your signature beard look. Now you can finally use Manscaped products to make your drapes match your carpet by going to manscaped.com and using code MSCSMedia for 20% off and free shipping. No one likes a weird beard, so say goodbye to all the stubble trouble with Manscaped's Pro Beard Kit. It all starts with the Beard Hedger. This thing is a monster of fixing faces. First off, this cordless trimmer has a rotary wheel that gives you 20 hair cutting lengths all with one guard. No more messing around in drawers, this color one, that color one, all with one guard. Plus, it's waterproof, so you can shave in the shower and avoid all that hair in the sink. The Pro Kit doesn't end there, though. First, there's the beard shampoo and conditioner. You need to remember, your hair is different. Next, Manscaped's beard oil. Cap it off with beard balm. The Pro Kit also comes with three different gifts, a beard brush, comb and scissors to ensure your beard is ready to impress. So get 20% off and free shipping with the code MSCSMedia at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the code MSCSMedia. This episode is brought to you by Let's Get Checked. Are you the man your father was? Recent studies have shown that men's testosterone levels have dropped substantially since the 1980s at about an average of 1% per year. Think about how old your father was when he was born. For example, if he was 30, your testosterone levels could be 30% lower than his. Low testosterone levels can have all type of health effects on men. It can affect your mood, sex drive, memory, muscle mass loss, you name it. And yes, low testosterone is more common the older you get, but it can affect men at any age. So let's talk about today's sponsor, Let's Get Checked. You can order a testing kit that will be delivered to you in a discreet packaging with next day delivery. Once your sample arrives in the laboratory, confidential results will be available from your secure online account within 2 to 5 days. So, if you want to test your hormone levels without having to leave your home, visit trylgc.com/MSCSMedia and get 25% off your test using the code MSCSMedia. The link is in the description at the top.
That.
And Rich,
should I keep going?
Yeah. When I
does that give you enough of a taste?
No, I love it. When I was growing up, you know, whatever. When I was growing up, if you like, I'm from Italy, so you can imagine how my parents were.
Yeah.
So if a woman had a tattoo, automatically trash, yeah. No good, you know, not good to be a mother of your children, that type of thing. And then all of a sudden, yeah. Like you said, you know, the women needed more rights and this and that, and the tattoos and then the piercings. That's got to be one of them, too. Like when they got piercings everywhere.
Piercings, lots of piercings. Yeah. Septum piercing. Yeah. All that stuff. Yeah.
And then if you're a successful businessman like yourself and others, you know, when you go to a meeting or go to dinner with somebody else who's, say, more successful than you that you're trying to make a deal with or whatever, and here comes your partner tattooed up or a earring and or a diamond in their cheek, automatically, in my opinion, you might as well kiss that deal goodbye.
Well, it's like I said, I mean, you might as well show up at that business meeting without her, but drive a Lambo that's covered in bumper stickers.
I know.
He's going to look at you like you're some kind of an idiot. Like, why do you make these choices? I don't want to invite you into this business deal, right?
Dead. Yeah.
It's only rational.
Keep going. I love him.
Okay. Well, you tell me when to stop. Big notch counts.
Big notch.
So this notion of the red flags is more sensible for guys looking for a girlfriend, a long-term relationship, or the mother for their kids. If you just want to have fun, it doesn't matter. You know, if she's got experience, she's been with 50 guys, it doesn't matter. But the fact of the matter is, there's lots of studies out there. I think the Teichman study is probably the most prolific one. You can go look it up. But they studied the effect of past sexual partners on a woman's ability to pair bond in a strong way to a guy over a long-term basis. So what that basically works out to is a woman that's been with 20 guys is less able to stay happily married to a guy than a woman that was a virgin or maybe had one sexual partner. Another component of that study revealed that the younger they are when they lose their virginity, the less likely they are to experience happiness in a long-term relationship in a marriage, you know, for example. So a woman that's got, again, 20 sexual partners from the age of 14 is a worse choice than a woman that lost her virginity at 23, stayed with the same guy for 7 years. You met her at 30 and she's got one notch count, right? So it's something that you have to contemplate. That's a very uncomfortable conversation, especially in today's world, because when you start saying, well, I don't like promiscuous women, then women start saying, well, you're a misogynist, or why do you hate women? Or if men can do it, then why can't women do it too? And the fact of the matter is, they can do it and they do do it. It's just, if you're a smart guy and you're going to invite a woman into your life, you're better off being sensible about selecting a better mate that's a better choice, right? Women that have more notches, higher instances of STDs, abortions, they generally bring kids in tow from past relationships because they've had so much sex. Plus, there's the baggage issue, right? Yeah. You know for a fact that if you're my age and you date a woman around my age, she's got a lot more baggage than a woman that's 21 years old that's probably been with nobody or maybe one guy. There's more of, he hurt me, he cheated on me, he did this to me. They don't really deal with that stuff. They like to put it in a burlap bag. It's like an invisible brick. I say that they write words on it like resentment or guilt, and they put it in a burlap bag and they carry it around like it's some sort of prize. Nobody sees it. Nobody cares. And they don't want to put it down and walk away from it. So notch counts is something to consider as well. You want to continue?
Yeah. And until they're the one with you, and then you decide, okay, this is the one, and that bag that she's been carrying that you can't see, it comes out on you.
You have to carry around.
Yeah. Exactly. You get the hit with it. Now, what about their friends around them? You know, you meet a lot of women, they got all these drama subtle friends, and they tell their friends, especially nowadays with the phone and social media, everything that goes on, and they ask your opinion. You know, you're rich. I mean, you know, you have the background to prove it, but then they have to hear from 20 other people. They ask the same question to 20 other people when they just asked you, because it's as if they want to hear that what they had originally thought was right. Then they go around to these dramacidal friends and do all this craziness. And with
So I call that their committee.
Their committee.
So all women have a committee that they like to run ideas up the flagpole and see if their committee salutes it or not. You see this a lot of the times online on discussion forums, like Reddit, for example, would be a good example. There's even these sub forums where these women sort of collaborate together and they're like, I have this problem with my boyfriend and he doesn't want to sort of thing. And what does everybody think? And it's like the committee then piles in. So it could be an in real life committee where it's their girlfriends, the gals that they hang out with and they drink wine or they go out from time to time and have dinner. It could be an online committee. But at the end of the day, all women have a committee. And ideally, if you're the right guy and you're strong and you're virtuous and you know how to lead the relationship, women will tend to abandon that committee and enter your frame and be a compliment to your life. So I'm not saying that you need to tell her to abandon a committee, but if she has one, you want to make sure that it's a reasonable committee, not a bunch of angry, man-hating, purple-haired feminists that are just going to tell her to dump you and move on to the next girl because you can always do better.
I feel like the committee always is, they're the ones that are, they hate their lives. So if they see that their friend is somewhat happy, but, you know, everybody's got problems in their relationships, they're like, oh, okay, yeah, no, that's not good. You should dump them tomorrow. This isn't good because they're miserable.
Yeah. Like misery loves company. And a lot of the times, you know, because women are hypergamous, they want to get their best option. They don't always want their girlfriends to be happy, though, which is kind of funny. Yeah. I don't think women see this until they actually see it at some point. But it's not always good for a woman to always rely on a committee of women, especially when you consider the source. You know, if the source is they've been divorced 3 times or she's got 3 kids from 2 different fathers, I'd be asking questions like, really, these are the people that you rely on for your life advice? So there's that to consider too.
Yeah, Rich, that's a big one. That's a big one because I have a lot of friends in this situation. You got any tips on how you would go about saying to that individual, hey, honey, you know,
drop the committee.
Yeah. You know, these people that you're hanging around with that are talking to all the time that you tell everything in the planet to and you take their advice and then it turns into a wreck at home. What are some tips for like a guy who maybe has a kid or two? And how do you just somewhat break that committee? Because that's like going against World War III.
It can be, you know, if you try to break a woman up from her friends, it can turn into something quite dramatic. I wouldn't encourage to turn it into a battle, even to result to some sort of negotiation, because whenever you try to negotiate with women, it just results in obligated compliance, which later on down the road ends up in resentment towards you.
Yep.
So, you know, I think the best way to handle stuff like that is to be a guy in your purpose. You're putting a dent in the universe. You're doing something of some significance in the world. She sees that. She sees that you're influential. She sees that you're competent. She sees that you've got a great social network. You do cool things. You've got a boat. You travel. You're that guy. And all you have to do is say, hey, I don't take women seriously that do this. Anytime a woman does something that is perhaps red flag based or potentially tied into red flags, all you have to do is say, like, if she likes to nightclub, you know, for example, right, then all you have to do is say, look, you know, you want my commitment. You've asked to claim me. I don't take women seriously that go out to nightclubs every weekend. Let her decide what to do from then. You know, if she keeps doing it, then you know what you need to do. You just move on and you just replace her, sort of thing. Or you just spend less time with her. You don't take her seriously. You keep her at arm's length. So you would be able to do the same thing with a committee. You know, I don't take women seriously that spend time hanging around with people that offer terrible advice, that live terrible lives. You know, might be the way to handle something like that.
But when
that's all you have to do.
But when they come home with it or they get off the phone with it, I've seen probably 5-6 marriages. They've had kids. They were getting along at first, you know, the honeymoon phase.
Yeah.
Then they get to know each other, you know, and then the girl is constantly on the phone telling them everything, you know, in-house, she's not going out. And the guy would say, like, you know, he doesn't really have enough balls, but he says in a nice kind of way, hey, you know, look who you're talking to and taking advice from. And the woman would not. And then they end up in a custody battle, alimony.
Yeah, that's why you got to vet for all that before you put babies in her. See, that's a mistake that men make is first pretty girl that touches their pee-pee, they get excited. Let's get married. Let's have a honeymoon. Let's have a big party. They don't have a lot of experience. Like, they don't think about red flags. Like, most of the guys that read my book and leave a review, you know, the most common comment I get is, I wish I saw this shit 20 years ago.
I wish I saw this shit 20 years ago.
Yeah, so I can't put your friends in a time machine and send them back to vet for a better woman. So it's almost impossible to do after you're married. So this is something that you have to take seriously when you're thinking about having kids, if you want to invite a woman in your life and set healthy boundaries, because that's all you're doing. You know, if I'm dating a woman and I see 3-4 months in, she's getting bad advice from loser women that have terrible lives that have nothing to show for it, then I would just simply say something along the lines of, hey, you know, I know that you like me and sort of thing, and I dig your vibe and all that sort of stuff, but I don't take women seriously that surround themselves with losers. Might be, you know, the way that you handle if you want to make a strong statement, right?
But if you went for that, you know, if you went for the pussy and you got nailed and you're stuck in it, is it better just to walk away from it and be done with it, or argue for the next 30 years?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I do get a lot of people that book me for coaching consults to talk about that. And there's never an easy answer. What I've found is a lot of the guys that have a lot of money and are real busy with their life, they might be running multiple businesses. They don't care. They just call it a loss. They've got their 4 kids out of the way. The marriage isn't working out. The wife is too difficult to be around, or she's not attractive, you know, to him anymore. He knows he can do better. Maybe he is doing better, you know, at that point. Then it's just untie the knot, pay your dues, you know, give up half of what, you know, whatever you have in most places in the world and start a new life again. A guy that's worth $40 million that has to give away $20 million isn't that big of a deal to him. He knows how to make that money back. But if a guy is like got a nest egg with the family and a bunch of kids and they've been together for 12 years and he's worth $1.5 million, including the value of the house and all that stuff, that's when guys start to get sketchy, right? That's when they're like worried because, oh shit, you know, I'm only going to be worth $500,000 by the time I've done all this and paid all the lawyer fees and everything. Yeah. So
both lawyer fees. And then you got the kid thing, and you know what happened in this example, and you know, and you have a whole, you know, your website's beautiful. I mean, you have everything on there and you can learn more on this. Just, you know, there's a little question with the kids. You know, when you do that, say you're worth that, you know, 1.5, and you have a kid, and you know the woman's going to go with the, you know, I want full custody, blah, 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 blah. Then you have to deal with that situation too. And I keep harping on this because I know a lot of people going through it, and you're the guy. I mean, this is the guy.
Yeah. I actually just finished a course on divorce, and I put it on my Teachable website because a lot of people were asking me about divorce. So you can find that there. It's kind of a step by step on how to untie the knot without really, you know, ruining your life too badly. You got to understand that the deck is stacked up against you if you're a guy. You know, one of the most eye-opening conversations I've ever had with a lawyer is I just thought, okay, well, marriage isn't working out. Let's just untie the knot. You know, we'll go to court and figure this out. And he's like, whoa, 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 stop. You don't want to go to court. If you have the penis, you're going to lose. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
You're going to lose if you have the penis? Like, that's how I think. Like, hadn't feminism equalized the playing field? Like, don't, like, women keep saying that they're, you know, they have equal rights and they want more rights. But why is a lawyer telling me that if you have a penis, you're going to lose? You know, so if you're a father, then you're at a disadvantage. So this is, you know, this is one of the many areas in life that men don't contemplate or consider, because when you get married, you take vows, you know, sickness and health and richer and poorer and happiness and whatever. It's like, you know, you just think that you're doing the right thing and it's good to go forever. But women initiate more than 80% of divorces now. It's not men that are leaving marriages, it's mostly women, right? So when men leave, it's actually really bad. But when women leave, it's sometimes because they're bored or they think they can do better because their committee convinces them of that. So you got to be very, very careful with women. I mean, like, having the right woman in your life can change your life for the better. It really can. But inviting the wrong woman can utterly destroy you if you're not careful.
Rich, what's your opinion on marriage and if you have separate bank accounts and also, you know, signing a, what's it called? Prenup.
Prenup. Yeah. That really depends on where you live. There's a football player. I can't remember his name. Hakimi, I think it is. He was recently in the media because his wife filed for divorce and wanted to take half his stuff. Did you guys hear that story?
Uh-uh. Yeah, she wanted to take half.
Really?
Half of everything.
Yeah. Half of everything, but nothing is in his name. From the get-go, he owned nothing. Everything was in his mother's name. His paycheck went to his mom. Everything went to her. And when she filed, divorce has started. And now he's asking for half of her stuff. She's a Spanish, I think, soap opera star. So this player put everything in his mom's name, protected his assets, and now he's going out after half of her stuff. So there are clever things that you can do that won't always work everywhere in the world. Like something like that generally won't work in North America, especially if you did it very close to the time of the nuptials when you got married, because it's a clear indication that you did it to try to hide or protect assets. To the question of the prenuptial agreement, if you had done that 10 years ago and then you met a woman 10 years later and then you got married and everything's still in your mom's name, that's probably pretty safe. Again, you want to get legal advice on that. As far as a prenup goes, prenups lose value over time. So if you meet a woman, she's successful, you're successful, you both work, 2 years into the marriage, you guys have a kid. 2 years later, you have another kid. She says, I'm just going to stay home now because it's better than daycare and I want to raise children. You're like, okay with that because you're a solid guy. You want to bring home the bacon. You want her to cook it up. 6 years later, she gets with her committee. They tell her, you can do better. Why are you putting up with this shit? You can take half his stuff. And she goes, I'm out. Right? Now, that prenup that she signed when you guys got married isn't as valuable 10 years down the road when you've got a couple small kids and she hasn't worked or been in the workforce for several years because she's been a stay-at-home mom. There's a video somewhere on my channel where I comment on this female lawyer who said, you know, I've gone through all my records and this is the worst profession that you can find in a woman to marry if you get divorced. And you listen to her for a few minutes and guess what that worst profession is? It's a stay-at-home mom, right? Which is unusual because us as men are told to be, you know, strong, provide, bring home the bacon, let her do the pink jobs, you do the blue jobs sort of thing. And then you come to realize, well, hang on a second. If you go through the divorce system, if you go through family court, that stay-at-home mom is now a big, big problem for you because she hasn't been in the workforce. And now she's got a lawyer that you're paying for, by the way. And the lawyer is telling her, well, because you haven't worked for so long, you know, you can get this, and you can get this, and you can get that, and you can get the other thing. Basically, what it boils down to is you have to maintain her lifestyle and the lifestyle of the children, by the way, in another home while you have to try to find another home and pay for two houses.
Oh, yeah.
And that's it. You know, that then becomes your new reality. And generally speaking, she has the kids because if she doesn't have the kids, she doesn't get the big child support payments. So she has to be the primary caregiver of the children, which is why she fights for that. It usually starts with, well, I'm the mom and they need their mother. And that's a story that they use. But the underlying tone beneath that is, well, if she doesn't have primary custody, she doesn't get child support. She doesn't get that big fat stack of cash every month, right?
So get her to work. make sure she's working somehow.
It's well, then when you go to that flip side of the coin, and then, you know, you say, no, you stay in work. Let's put the kids in daycare. Do you really want a daycare center raising your children?
Hell no, not now. Hell
right?
No.
So it's like, you know, you're screwed if you do and you're screwed if you don't, sort of thing, like either way. So there's a chapter in my book, actually, that's, you know, the title of it is Why Smart Men Don't Marry Anymore. And that's one of the reasons why. There's not a lot. I mean, it's very, very high risk and low reward for men. And it's low reward and high risk for women, especially when they marry a successful guy that's got his shit together.
As I wrote a check, Rich, yesterday for exactly what you just said, because stay-at-home mom, and the big part of that check is what I'm accustomed to, the lifestyle I'm accustomed to.
Exactly, yeah.
And it's a sickening check. It's a sickening check.
Women don't go backwards in time financially. They only stay where they're at, right? So, you know, if you're Kevin from sales and you're making $300,000 a year, and your wife's a hairdresser making $40,000 a year, and you know, you're up here and she's down here, and you get married, her lifestyle now goes to here.
Yep.
If you have to untie that knot for whatever reason, her lifestyle doesn't go back to $40,000 a year hairdresser.
Oh no.
The family courts make sure it stays up here. And guess who's paying for that?
I'm proof of that, buddy. I'm proof of that. I can show you proof of that. What were you going to say, Rob?
I was going to ask you, I know you didn't go through all your 20 things, but what about a woman who listens, and I'm not saying some of this is bad, but everything mom says, so the mother-in-law syndrome, where mom's right, you know, what do you do there?
Yes, so the mother-in-law is part of the committee, right? Like, you know, like women have a committee. It's consisted of her friends, her work colleagues, family members. You got to take a good look at a woman's committee, because if she's got, you know, terrible people in her life that are offering advice, you know, providing counsel, well, guess what happens when things aren't working out for her, right?
I can
they're not going to side with you.
No, they're not, because they got the one, the two, the three of the family members. Then they got the friend committee. You're done for, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it, right? So you got to be very, like I said earlier on, man, you got to be very careful about the kind of woman that you invite in your life and in what capacity.
And I, like Rob had said, I had this issue in my first marriage. With the bank accounts, you're constantly on me about, you know, being on the bank account, but she was a stay at home. So there, there would, you know, whenever she had needed something, I gave it to her or whatever. But for me, I felt I trusted her and everything, but I just felt like you don't need to know the exact amount that's coming in. You know, you're not wanting for anything, but you know, some of these women, they're in that committee. And the committee says, well, why aren't we on the same bank? Why do we have separate bank accounts if we're married?
Yeah. Yeah. And there's this new age trend of these traditional conservative women that are trying to purport or hold out to society and culture that they don't like. I saw this one documentary, you know, the other day, and it's this TradCon woman creator on YouTube that's like, I don't know, she's in her 20s or something like that. She got with a guy that's 51. She's pregnant. They're, you know, they're living together. She's like, I don't need anything. He just gives me $100 a week allowance and everything's great. And I take care of the house and he makes the money and take, you know, like the perfect picture, like they sell that. But the thing that you have to understand is that a woman always reserves the right to change her mind at any given time. So saying, all I need is $100 and I'm happy with that, and I go to my yoga class and that's all I need.
Yeah.
That's fine. Right now. Right? Whenever a woman says, I love you, always add in your head, right now.
Boy,
if
you're
a woman
not lying.
Says, you know, if a woman says, I don't do that, like in the bedroom, for example, if she says, I don't do that, add in your head with me, because she'll do it with somebody else.
That is very good advice and definitely accurate. That is very good.
Buckle up, boys. We got lots more coming if you want to talk.
Yeah, no, this is great. This is great. And definitely get this book. Check out. We have the site up, which I want to go through. Rich, I mean, it's just so awesome. Give me two more of the flags. They're just so cool.
Let's do seeking validation, right? So this is another red flag on the list. So if you're dating a woman and she's using social media to seek validation and attention outside of the relationship, then that's the problem, right? Instagram, for example, Twitter, mostly Instagram, because Instagram's more photography based. But if she's posting sexy selfies, provocative photographs, you're on vacation with her or you're doing something, and she's taking a picture of the food, but you're not in the picture, or she wants a picture with the sunset and you're not in the picture. It's just her. That's a woman that's seeking validation. She's looking for likes. She's fishing for likes. She's fishing for comments. And make no mistake, guys are going to be DMing her. Hey, hey, beautiful. What are you doing? This, that, and the other thing. Most of it she just ignores. But the fact that she's doing that is a reality that you have to contend with today, because she's looking for attention and marketing herself online. So if you want to see if a woman really loves you, if she's really looking at you the best that, you know, she can possibly get, tell her to shut down her Instagram. See if she does that for you. Because a woman that loves you, that sees you as her best option, will do it. If she has genuine burning desire for you and would fear losing you, you know, to another woman, she'll shut down her Instagram. At the very least, if you're dating a woman, her social media should not be posting provocative pictures, especially if she says, hey, Rich, I dig your vibe. Where do we stand? I want to claim you. I don't want to share you with anybody else. Especially then, by the way, women should have that talk with you. It's not you opening the where do we stand talk. Women open that talk up, okay? You never start that. So if she's done that and she's posting those pictures, that's when you go, well, I like you too, but I don't take women seriously that post provocative pictures online. So what are we going to do about that? Oh, I'll just close down my account. Perfect. No problem. Oh, why are you trying to control me? Yep. You know, my friend Becky had that happen. You know, that's when you're like, well, like I said, I don't take women seriously that post provocative pictures online. So if you want to get with me, that's going to have to stop, right?
Now, I had dated someone and they did that. You know, I was with them and they would have a sexy shirt on, whatever. And really, you know, okay. But if we're going to date, and again, if I'm going to meet you, Rich, okay, I don't want her walking in. Me, you, and her are going to go to dinner. I'm dressed nice. You're dressed nice. I am not taking her with me with her cleavage hanging out and everything else, because to me it's trashy. But you say something to them, and they say, "Oh, you're jealous, or you're controlling, or you're too old," or you know that's the response you get. And
I have better options. You just move on.
Yeah, there'd be a lot of single guys. I'll tell you what, you know
Guys' value increases as we get older. We only get better as we get older. Men peak in their late 30s, early 40s. I'm older than that, so I'll be honest, right? Like, I'm on the decline, you know, at this stage. But men do get better as they age, especially if they've done work in their life, they've chased excellence, they've made money. Women peak at 22, 23.
And that's it, buddy.
Because women and men are different. Men are success objects and women are beauty objects. So women peak around 21, 22, 23. That's when, if you survey cross-culturally, and they've done this, they've asked men around the world, they show them pictures of women of all ages from the 20s all the way up to like 70 or something like that. Universally, cross-culture, cross-religion, they all universally select about 21, 22 years old. And women hate that when you say that. That's misogynistic. Why are you just distilling us down to objects? It's always been that way for thousands of years. Women have always been beauty objects to men, and men have always been success objects to women. That's the way it is.
And I know you've seen it. You know, you go online, and I would go online. I'm having a guest in, whoever. And I would go online and just, you know, look to see who they are, what they're about to have a good conversation with. And then I would see their wife, and I would see what they're wearing. And, hey, if they're okay with that, that's fine. But to me, sometimes I would almost fall over, because back in my day, back in my heyday when I wasn't a committed guy, I mean, I would attack that right away just based on the fact of what you're wearing and how you're presenting yourself. So to
Precisely.
Me, it's
She's
like
marketing herself.
Like, buddy, you might want to say something to her. You know, it makes her feel good, this, that, the other. My friend, she's like, this is what I say. And I, you know, excuse my language if you don't like it, but she's saying, come fuck me. I mean, you know, when you're in that little thing and the dress is up and you're married with kids and you're doing the what do they call that? The boomerang. It's like, come fuck me. I'm like, dude, that's like, even friends, like, try to be nice, you know? And then, you know, of course they don't like me. And I'm like, dude, your wife is on Instagram. Basically, she might as well, you know, be on a hooker site.
Yeah. Precisely. Exactly. 100%. Right. I mean, she's a representation of you. I wouldn't want to take my gal out if she had a OnlyFans, if she had an Instagram where she's constantly showing her body off. If I had to take her out to a dinner and she's wearing a nice evening gown, maybe like cut down the back a little bit, she's got tattoos on her back. You don't want that as a guy, and women don't seem to understand that. It doesn't seem to sink in that men value beauty, purity. You know, conservative type of like women that are only there for, like, you want a freak in the bedroom. You don't want them in the streets, right?
Right. Yeah, you want the free. You do not want to take that to, you know. We had a meeting with Magic Johnson birthday party. You know, you don't. Regardless of what he's doing, he's already on his 10 gazillion million dollar jet, right? So it doesn't matter what he's doing, right? We're coming in as a little guy. I don't want to go in there with some chick half naked. I want a classy looking girl, you know, not with tons of jewelry, you know, a nice necklace, nice, well, like a proper. And for some reason, like you said, if you say proper or classy, that means you're old.
Sexist.
You're old. You're sexist. You're jealous. You're
good. Call me that.
Yeah.
If,
yeah.
Different. If that's what I am, then that's what I am.
Yeah. Yeah. That was that about you got to read that. That's a really good one. And give another one of these flags, Rob. I'm giving you this book.
Let's go to hissy fits. So,
oh boy,
kids throw hissy fits. You got kids, Rob?
Yeah, two.
You know,
two boys.
They'll get mad. They'll you know, they get down on the ground. They'll bang their fists, sort of thing. You know, if things don't go their way, fine. You know, they don't know how to deal with their emotions. But when you're an adult, you can't be throwing hissy fits. If you can't control your emotions as an adult woman and, you know, you get mad and you're slamming things, you're throwing things, you're slamming doors, car doors, front doors. You just, as a guy, you want a peaceful life. You want a woman that's a compliment to your life, not a woman that's complicating your life. And a woman that throws hissy fits is going to add unnecessary stress to your life that you really don't need. I don't want to be going out in my world chasing excellence, making money, putting a dent in the universe, and I come back to a woman, an adult female, throwing a hissy fit, right? So she's got to be able to deal with conflict. She's got to be able to resolve it. She's got to be able to have some control over her emotions. Hissy fits are really a big red flag too.
And Rich, you know, they go on and on and on. And again, like I said in the past, I would have a big meeting, like a really important meeting or a really important guest where I had to, like, I'd read your book, look at all your websites. You're not just a one thing type of guy, you know, where you sit down, hey, Rich, how you doing? You know, you got all kinds. You got three YouTubes. You got a book. You got the podcast. You got all kinds of stuff going on, you know, and these hissy fits, they bring up something and they just keep going on and on and on and on. When, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think us men, okay, what's the problem? Okay. That's the problem. Okay, how can we fix it? Okay, it's done. Period. No more to talk about, but they go on and on and on and on. That would fit into the hissy fit category, right?
Yeah, hissy fit's broad. You know, she doesn't like something you say, a boundary that you set. She goes out and breaks another boundary. You know, she'll make a derogatory post on social media that, you know, is about, you know, the hissy fit that she just threw because she doesn't like something that you did. That it's, you know, it's just childish behavior. And like I said, you know, you want a woman that's a compliment to your life, not a woman that complicates your life.
And the best, and I'm sure you've seen this, you know, when you're talking and people that come to you, they have a hissy fit with you and then they go tell everybody about the hit. They go to the committee and tell the committee all about the hissy fit. And then they keep bringing the hissy fit back up again and again and again with the committee.
Yeah. It's a never ending cycle. You don't want to deal with any of that as a guy. Guys do, but you don't really want it. Trust me.
It's unbelievable.
The other thing too, Rich, you know, I'll age myself. I'm 38 years old, but you know, I see these younger, I call them kids, but 20-year-olds. And you talked about the OnlyFans thing. And I think that's interesting because it seems like this younger generation is okay with their significant other. Well, he or she has an OnlyFans. Well, I don't care as long as they're making money. That's just crazy to me. That's like,
isn't that insane? Like, isn't that insane, like, that there's men today that are okay with their girlfriend or their wife selling pictures of their body parts, which only they should see? Isn't that insane? But it's accepted today. It's almost celebrated. Oh, she's so brave and strong. You know, she's such a great entrepreneur. Really?
Yeah.
What a loser you are, buddy.
Rich, I had a friend and I couldn't believe it. I had to say, she's doing what? And they were low on money. And he said, you know, she goes on. He's like, you know, we made $3,000 on OnlyFans. Okay, I'm like, okay, all right. Aren't you guys like engaged? Yeah, but she made $3,000 in 1 week. What did she do? She fingered herself. Wait a minute. The girl you're about to engage to fingered herself for $3,000 on OnlyFans. Yeah, but nobody touched her. And this is how these people think.
It's crazy.
Like, it's okay for her to show her shit. And somebody, and however many, $3,000 worth, $4,000 worth, watch the girl you're about to marry finger herself.
She might as well just be
and you're
at the
okay
wedding.
With that.
Yeah.
Oh my yeah. goodness. But that's well, how it is today.
Yeah, maybe there'll be people at the wedding that subscribe to her OnlyFans. Yeah, you know, get to go to the wedding too. So
I hope they bring. I hope they bring a big
crazy
envelope.
World we live in.
Maybe they'll bring a big envelope. You know.
Yeah.
And
a big donation to the booster for that one, eh?
And then, what do you say to this? You know, there was I always break his balls about this anyway. One day, Rob, my engineer, he couldn't make it, so I called this guy who's always complaining about money. You know, needs 300, 500, blah blah blah. I say, hey, do you want to come in for 2-3 hours, you know, hit buttons, whatever, I'll edit it after it. He says, mm-hmm. I'm cooking in a crock pot. I can't come in to do it. Now, you've been bugging me for weeks about this. Now, this is a man. I'm cooking a crock pot. Rich, I don't even know what a crock pot is.
I think that's where you, like, just roast a big pile of meat or something. I don't know. I don't do much cooking. My girlfriend does all the cooking.
That's what I mean. But that's how today's society is. Like, bugging me about the money. He can come in for a couple $100 to work, but he's cooking a crock pot. And this was before, this was maybe 2 years ago before this really got nuts in society. And I was like, oh boy, this is really getting bad, you know?
Yeah. You know, we live in a clown world. You know, you see these memes all the time online on social media with the clown and then the globe beside it. And it's like, it just happens more and more. Like one of the biggest, I think social media accounts on Twitter is actually called Clown World. And all it is, it's a constant feed daily of like a dozen posts of just insanity that you just shake your head at and be like, what? Like, why?
And then they're locked on the phone. And isn't this so funny? And you look at it as myself, an entrepreneur, Rob, you yourself, and no, that's not funny to me. I'm not gaining any knowledge or education. No, it's not really funny to me.
Yeah, so let's talk about the female first primary social order, which is the first chapter of my book, and really, you know, where the world's heading is. There's a distinct feminization of the Western male, and there's also a distinct masculinization of the Western female. Women graduate with more degrees than ever before. There's a recent stat that I saw where there's actually more single women that are homeowners now than there are men.
Phew.
And there's some jokes around that. Some people say, well, that's because of divorce. But there's still more women that own real estate right now in North America than there are men. Women make more money than men, generally speaking. Women freeze eggs like crazy today. One of the things you see a lot, you know, is like stories about there's a shortage of marriageable men for women. Well, these women have chased degrees their entire life and careers, climbed the corporate ladder. Now they've hit 38, 39. I had a woman that called in on one of my podcast shows a couple of weeks ago, 39-year-old, beautiful fitness type model, you know, successful, owns her, blah, 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 all that stuff. I can't find a guy. Where do I find a guy? Where are these guys? And it's like, you probably dated them and they just weren't good enough for you. And you passed on them because they think that they can do better. So they reach 38, 39. They've got their eggs frozen. They want to have a family. They want to find a good guy. And then the guys that are their age, when I say their age, like 39 to 45 or so, they're looking around going, why should I date a 39-year-old that's been with 20 guys when I can date a 23-year-old that's been with nobody and has no baggage and is still fertile and I can have a family with, right? So that's the problem with the dynamics today is like there are very, very few top shelf men that are competent, capable, make real money, are good looking and in good shape. Like they're very rare, very, very rare. And there's actually lots of beautiful women. So these guys are kind of spoiled for choice. I mean, if you're a guy, at no time in history have you ever been in a better position to be with a gorgeous woman. Or in many cases, some of these guys, they just date multiple women simultaneously and they know about each other, right? Because women are more than happy to share a high value alpha male, basically, right?
And we're in Palm Beach Island. This episode is sponsored by ZBiotics. What is ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic? The ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic is a genetically engineered probiotic you drink before drinking alcohol to avoid that rough next morning and get back to living your life. PhD scientists invented it because they know the real problem is not dehydration. It's a toxic byproduct of alcohol. And ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic is the only product that breaks it down. Just remember to drink responsibly and plenty of rest too. Every time I have ZBiotics before drinking, I'm amazed at how good I feel the next day. ZBiotics is a must-have for me because it means I'm still going to make my daily workout even if I have a few drinks the night before. That's important to me. You can get ZBiotics for 15% off your first order using my code MSCSMedia at checkout. I recommend getting the six-pack. That's what I got. It's a great deal. You have a couple extra to share with friends. Go to ZBiotics.com/MSCSMedia. That's Z as in zebra, Biotics, BIOTICS.com/MSCSMedia, or scan the QR code on the screen right now and get 15% off your first order in Florida.
Yeah.
And here, like down this road, Pacino's got a house. It's just tons and tons of the studios on Palm Beach Island and tons of money. And you will see a 70-year-old man, 65-year-old man with a knockout. And when I tell you knockout, I mean from 1 to 10, a 50. And I mean, I don't care if he's buying or whatever. But like you said, so that man who's 50, 40, who's successful, he is not going for the 40-year-old. He's going for the 21, the 24, even if it's just an arm girl to go to dinner with his buddies. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's not happening.
I had a coaching call yesterday with an older client. He's 77, Texan, very, very successful, loaded. And one of his frustrations with online dating is he's finding that when women say they're 40 or 39,
oh, yeah.
he goes, they show up and they're like 55, Rich. He goes, why are they lying to me?
And so he would fall into the where they don't swipe right.
Yeah, it's a jungle out there. Look, man, if you're a smart guy, you have the knowledge, you know, you've done the work, you're successful. There's no better time in history to be a man than when it is today. Even with all the Me Too's and the toxic feminism and I hate men and the patriarchy, there's never been a better time. It's rough and you have to be discerning in your taste. And that's why I wrote my book and I put the 20 red flags in there. Because if you realistically vet for those and keep those women out of your inner circle, you know, you can draw a perimeter around your life. You know, you've got maybe your wife, maybe the girlfriend stage, you've got the friends with benefits. You just keep them on the outside perimeter until they prove that they're worthy of being let on, you know, the inside. That's when you start taking them on vacations, you buy them nice gifts, you spend more time with them than maybe just a random date here and there sort of thing. So, you know, if guys are real smart with their time and protect some boundaries, they can do real well and have a good life.
What percentage do you think of couples that turn into a relationship actually meet in person versus online nowadays? What percentage do you think that is?
Good question.
Well, some of the most beautiful women aren't really online, are they?
No.
Right. I think online women are more or less average-ish, like 6, 7s, 8s, you know, 8s at best. You don't see 9s and 10s on dating apps, right? So when you see a 9 or a 10 out there, it's probably not from a dating app. It's from a party. It's from an event. It's from a social group. It's from the yacht thing, you know, whatever it happens to be. But the vast majority of I guess, relationships, like average relationships, average marriages today, they do happen from online apps for sure.
Crazy.
I'm glad I didn't have to worry about the online app shit when that happened. But I have a question. I got two boys, right? So yeah. I didn't have the girls. Thank God. Tommy, sorry about that.
Oh, I knew that was coming.
So you have a daughter, raising a daughter in this day and age.
Yeah.
How do you get them on the right track and avoid a lot of the shit that we're talking about right now?
I'll be signing up for a lot of your courses, Rich.
What do you do? As a dad.
Yeah, so the conversations you have with your sons versus your daughter, I think, are very different. When you're talking to your sons, the conversations you have are be competent, learn skills, learn how to make money, develop a strong masculine physique, be able to solve problems. These are the main, like, again, men are success objects. So you have to talk to your son about doing the work in his life to become a success object, because at the end of the day, that's why we're here, to scatter seed. You know, men are on the earth to pass on their DNA and scatter seed. Women, on the other hand, their value is different from men. It still is. Even though toxic feminism says other things to them, like, if men can do it, then you can do it too. If men can bang 50 girls, then you should go bang 50 guys too. The conversation you have with gals should be, you need to preserve your value. You need to preserve your purity. You need to preserve your beauty. You can't be running around dating lots of guys. You can't be partying. You can't be doing these things. You can if you want. I mean, you know, adult women are going to do what they're going to do. They're adults, you know, 18, 19, 20, whatever it is you want to call them, depending on where you live. they're going to do what they're going to do. And if they're going to listen to you, great. If they're not, then there's not much else that you can do with that. And the problem is really, though, is kids get hit from every angle every day of the week. Like, I remember when I was a kid, like, you guys are close to my age. I think probably the strongest influences that I had outside of my parents' advice was music, rock and roll, heavy metal, stuff like that, right? And even then, the messages weren't that bad compared to what you get today. Now, when I mean, all kids have screens now. They have these little devices with these apps that some say are Chinese propaganda, or they're programming, kids to believe certain cultural values that aren't particularly aligned with strengths, virtue, and competencies and things like that. And they tell girls, dye your hair purple, cut it short. You're beautiful at any weight. Cover yourself in tattoos. That's hot too. Fight the patriarchy, because men have been oppressing women for years. It's funny because you see these interviews, these guys on the street, and they'll go up to gals and they'll say, "Yeah, the patriarchy, this is not the thing," and misogyny. And they'll say, "Could you define misogyny for me?" And none of the girls can. They don't even know a single example. When they interview these women about Andrew Tate, "Oh, he's a misogynist." "Well, what has he done that's misogynist? Can you explain that to me, please?" They don't know, because everything on social media is programming them, women, to believe that they're victims. They're programming boys to become women, basically. I've never seen so many transgenders as we have today, right? They surveyed the 30 and under generation, and I think the results of that were something like 30% of 30 and under kids identify with the alphabet, committee, LBGQT,
LBG, whatever it
whatever it
is
is.
today.
That is not a reality of the world. Historically speaking, thousands of years, like, homosexuality has always been around. Nobody really cared. The guy, he would go and do what he'd do, or if he was in a place where it was prohibited, then he would just do it quietly, sort of thing. Now everything's out in the open. We have a month for everything, a flag for everything. It's promoted online. Beer companies are hiring men that think that they're women, dressing in makeup. Cosmetic companies are hiring the same guy, that thinks that he's a girl, being all feminine. It's just ludicrous, right? So, if you have kids in today's world, you have to do your absolute best to protect them from the insanity that culture is trying to program into them, to make women men, men women, encourage the victim mindset of everybody. Because look, if you think you're a victim, you're going to vote for big, powerful government that hands out free shit. People don't want freedom anymore. They want free stuff.
And that's their agenda. We had Dr. Malone in last week. He was talking about agenda 4.0 warfare, and this is, the COVID guy, mRNA. And he's moved on to far worse things. Where there's a secret society of all these, he calls them buildings, but buildings where they're just censoring everything and pushing everything. So that not
Well,
too
I
go
had
ahead.
Peter McCullough on my YouTube channel about a year ago. Same sort of topic. That video got struck down on YouTube because of the conversation I had with Peter McCullough, right? Malone's sort of, partner in crime in this sort of space. But that's what they do, right? They censor, they suppress, they discourage conversations that go against the mainstream narrative, right? That's why guys like Andrew Tate are under house arrest right now, because he says these things very publicly in ways that I won't say them publicly.
You ready for this one? So I had Peter McCullough on twice. They didn't knock it down. Malone on twice. They didn't knock it down. I had Tristian Tate on, and I said, okay, let's see what he was about. 2.5 hours I talked to Tristian. Not one thing did I see feminist, nothing. All I saw was, hey, be an entrepreneur, dress nice, do your hair, nothing. 2.5 hours with Tristian. Not one
Struck down.
thing, like downgrading women, nothing. But they did the narrative. I had Ed Dowd on about a week and a half ago. Edward Dowd, he wrote the book Cause Unknown with Kennedy Jr. YouTube strikes me for it. So now I'm thinking, okay, this suspends me for 2 weeks. So I'm thinking, well, this has to be over COVID. It's over Kennedy, because of Robert Kennedy Jr. And the name was mentioned, I don't know,
Three times.
two or three times, and he wrote the book. And then you go on Reddit, and they're giving all these strikes on YouTube because they don't want him going up. That's how
you
nuts.
control,
Now, how
that's how you control the
insane is
narrative.
that? And this is a Wall Street tycoon that Malone and McCall and them all went together to get math and a trend, to see what the trend was. And out of all of them, McCall is still up, you know, two of them alone, too. And that's what they hit now. Like, it's unbelievable.
And you can't tell anymore these days, right? Like, I was not expecting to get struck down for McCullough because he was referred to me by my buddy George Gammon. Because Gammon had him on a couple weeks before.
Great guy.
So I said, yeah, I'd love to talk to him, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know. Maybe it's because his name's in the title. There's something you put in the description or maybe something in the conversation triggers an algorithm. But, you know, the notion of free speech, I don't believe even exists today. Because if they're suppressing or striking creators for having conversations, which you should be able to have, it doesn't exist. You have to be careful. You have to tread carefully. Like I said, you know, if you say the wrong things on the wrong platform, it could be very problematic for you, right?
Yeah, that's my second strike. I mean, I have a deal with Spotify, thank God, who hasn't, they don't care. But, you know, one more before I think the end of May, they'll ban the channel. You know, yeah. So if they would happen to go through whoever and something they don't like from a year ago, it's just unbelievable. And Rich, you know, we're talking about, like, with you, you know, I got away with Peter, thank God, but we're talking about, if not one of the top cardiologists on the planet.
Yeah.
And you strike and you knock it down.
I know. Because it's disinformation. Like, he doesn't know what he's talking about, right?
But then, you know, going back when we're growing up, you know, everybody, you would want that there. He's got to be in the top five in the world. And then you got, all these guys. And then you got Dowd. Like, what the hell?
You know what's happened, though? You know how we talked earlier about the gatekeepers, right? Yep. You know, like, you couldn't publish a book, you know, 30 years ago.
Yep.
The gatekeepers still exist. Yep. The gatekeepers now sit in a room at social media companies. And they get to decide whether or not your content is good or not.
What do you think of Twitter and Elon? What do you think about that?
I love Elon Musk. I think, you know, what he's done with Twitter is great. I've been critical of him, you know, in the past with his personal relationships because he's done some kind of weird stuff here and there. But
yeah.
I love what he's doing with Twitter. Like, I think it's great that there's finally a mainstream platform. Like, I haven't had a single complaint. I think I had one complaint from some nerd in Germany about something that I posted that they just, no, doesn't count. I've had no issues with Twitter since Elon took over.
Now, with YouTube doing all what they do, because they're the main one. When you say they're the main one that knocks it down.
Yeah.
Who can, you know, Spotify is big, but you know, let's just be real. They're not on YouTube's level. Do you think somebody?
Well, let's be real. I mean, like, you know, Twitter or Spotify could be the next YouTube if they, you know, if they wanted to broadcast, you know, video. The thing about YouTube that's so powerful is it's a discovery engine, right? Like, this is where people still go to watch video content from homemade creators. But that's, again, right now. That will change in the future.
Spotify needs a guy like you. I have a contract with them. You can watch video on Spotify, full video, but I can't tell you how many people said, oh yeah, I listened to the audio. I said, no, you know, there's video on there. I post video 2-3 a week. Oh, really?
Yeah.
And they still have it where, I don't know why, they keep doing updates. But if you've never watched a podcast video on there, you go to hit play, say our podcast right now, and a settings pops up, and you have to verify the data savers turned off. You know what we used in like the 90s?
Yeah.
They still have that right now.
Well, you know what Spotify really needs, man? Because I watch a lot of like video streaming stuff on console. You know, there's an app for Netflix, there's an app for Prime, there's an app for YouTube. There's no video app for Spotify. Like, when I want to watch a Joe Rogan podcast, I got to plug in my laptop with the HDMI into the receiver and then put it up on the TV through the screen. Like, there's no native app on consoles.
See, there is here. There is in the U.S. You can just...
I haven't seen it here, though.
Yeah, oh, but shit.
That would be great for watching podcasts, right?
That's unbelievable. Wow, yeah. They don't have that? Yeah, here you just hit the app. Otherwise, I wanted to sign the deal.
No, there's no app for the consoles here.
Wow.
Or I haven't seen it yet. I mean, I haven't checked in a month or so, but the last time I checked, there's no app on consoles.
Wow. And just to revert back, when I was growing up, the coolest thing we saw was somebody with a car phone. My friend Franco.
Yeah.
My friend Franco, his mom had a car
phone. Big ones.
The big blocky ones, and whenever his mom would
come. My dad had one in his 1989 Honda Accord.
And we thought we were the coolest guys in the world, right? If you were in there with the car phone.
Yeah, until your dad calls you, you know, at 10:01 because he wants the car home at 10 o'clock in the summertime, and he's yelling at you because Is his car still out with you?
Yeah. I'd rather go back to those days any day of the week than this craziness.
Amen.
And now, when you say it's by far the top 20% that swipes right, you know, that's what it, that I really don't mess with these things. I hate them. Is that Tinder, right?
Bumble.
Yeah. Hinge. That's accurate?
Yeah, they collected the data on women's swiping habits on dating apps. And I think it's 22% of women, women find 22% of men right swipes and 78% of men left swipes. So what they're saying basically is 78% of men on dating apps are unsuitable to women. There's a website out there that some guys made. I think it's IGotStandardsBro.com is what it's called. And they collected the demographic information in the United States and they organized it. And the main categories are height, marital status, race, and income, I think, are the main ones. So there's like four or five different categories. So all these women that are like, I want a guy that's at least 6 foot tall, that makes six figures, has a 600 horsepower car, 6 months out of a relationship, 6 inches in the pants, like all this stuff, you know, like the 6'6"s sort of thing. Mm-hmm. When you punch in the data in there, it shows you how many guys actually meet those requirements. Like one of women's strong requirements on dating apps is he's got to be 6 feet tall. The percentage of the North American population that's over 6 feet tall is only 14%.
Yeah.
The percentage of the North American population is over 6'2", which happens to be the next tier that women always demand on dating apps is, you know, 6 foot or 6'2". I think it's something like 4%. So like all of these women on dating apps are basically fighting for like somewhere between 4 to 14% of the men that are available on dating apps. And that doesn't even take into account race, weight, marital status, any of these things, right?
I had these two friends. This is a true story. Dale and Yale. That was their names. Dale and Yale. Yeah. And one was 5'7" with a gift. One was 5'8", 5'9" with a gift. And we would go out in Philadelphia all the time. And I'm 5'9½". I don't care. Now they would wear these shoes, Rich, that had they would go to the tailor at Saks and have them put in at least, like a 3-inch clodhopper thing to walk around to be taller. Yeah. And this is back in the 2000s.
Yeah.
To get
these
women.
Shoes still exist today. Yeah.
Yeah. It was
the size of the heels that some of the women wear. You probably need that.
Yeah, you kind of do because the women are walking around in 3-inch heels, right? And, you know, it's going to put you at a disadvantage. Yeah.
What's your thoughts on that? A tall woman versus a short man?
You don't see it too often. It does happen, but if you see a tall woman with a short man, I mean, he's either packing a freaking revolver in the pants or he's loaded usually, right?
Yeah. One of the two or both.
Yeah.
Probably both.
Yeah.
Probably both. And what do you think? You know, when you meet a girl, say she passes some of these flags here, how can you tell the difference between lust, the honeymoon phase, and real? What are some markers?
Oh, yeah.
Because that's a tough question.
Yeah, if you want to see what a woman's really made of in a relationship, watch how she handles difficulties in your life. Like, let's say you get sick, right? You get COVID or, you know, some like really bad cold or flu. Does she take care of you? You know, does she make you some soup? Does she expose her immune system to risk to be around you to look after you sort of thing, right? Because your boys won't do it, you know? That's what a good woman will do, you know? Like, if you got a good woman in your life, there's something going on with your family, maybe one of them becomes sick, she offers to take care of them, offers to do things, cook for them, stuff like that. That's when you'll see what a woman's really made of.
But that would be after the honeymoon phase.
Yeah, that's after the where do we stand phase and you've dated for a while. Like, that's when she'll really show her true colors. But it's been said that women can act or you date the representative for as long as a year and a half, maybe up to 2 years. But women have a difficult time acting or being a representative of something that they're not beyond that. So, you know, guys that rush into a marriage in like 3 months or something like that,
doomed.
Probably not the best idea.
Yeah.
Because you're only going to see what she's made of during difficult times. Like when you travel and her luggage gets lost, does she have a complete meltdown and lose her shit at the attendant, you know, at the counter sort of thing? Or does she say, no problem, we'll get it later. Let's go to the store and get some stuff.
Yeah. Right. I've heard that many times, a representative. I lost two very expensive bags of stuff, three, 4 months ago. And the girl I was with is flipping out. I'm just like, okay, it happens. What are you going to do? You know, what are you going to do? But I'm very calm with things like that.
You know, one thing, Rich, too, I can't say I have this problem, thank God, but, you know, there's women out there now, and this will probably get taken the wrong way by someone, that don't know how to cook at all. And it's either order out every day or guys cooking or whatever it may be. Yeah. But, like, I think that's a great thing, a woman who can cook.
I love a woman with culinary skills. I mean, one of the reasons why I chose my girlfriend was because she's a great cook. Some people don't like that. They don't care. They say, oh, I can cook for myself. Or you get these guys that are like, well, I prefer cooking. I'd rather cook for her, sort of thing. It's like, okay, fine. Like, I don't care how you want to structure your life, but I value a woman that comes to my house with bags of groceries and prepares a delicious, nutritious, and healthy meal for me. Like, to me, that's a woman. Like, that's a chick that I want to spend more time with, sort of thing. So, you know, I guess you got to get clear on your priorities. I got another friend of mine that likes cooking. Like he absolutely loves meal prep, cooking, the presentation. Like that's his jam. And he doesn't care if a woman can cook, right? So everybody's got their preferences. But I think, you know, traditionally speaking, most guys value women that know how to cook.
Well, going through all the stuff that we're going through, we're talking about cooking, we're talking about all this different stuff. I guess my question to you is there the perfect woman out there?
Everybody's going to have their own version of the perfect woman. I mean, you ask 20 guys, you'll get 20 different answers. There's soy boy beta males out there that, you know, love Joe Biden and wear, like, I love Joe Biden t-shirts that would tell you that I like morbidly obese women with short purple hair and tattoos all over their body, right? Like that's their ideal woman, that play video games and have an OnlyFans, right? Yeah. Like, you're going to get different answers from different guys. Typically speaking, guys like me, the guys that roll in my circles, the guys that are entrepreneurs, the guys that are making bank, that are cool to hang out with, that do fun stuff, we've got very similar tastes. And I don't think that that's a coincidence. I think that that's what men that are doing something with their life generally gravitate towards: feminine women, right? Strong, masculine, virtuous men gravitate towards feminine beauties that complement their lives and are just, you know, fun and pleasant to be around.
I guess what I'm saying is for a woman, for guys that roll in your group, well, if let's say there's 10, there's a checklist of 10. I know you have 20 there, but say 10.
Yeah.
Are you going to look for every single one? Meaning, will they meet every single part of that checklist? Or you might deal with 9 and okay, that one's okay not to have on there.
Yeah. So I think you can have it all, but you can't have it all at the same time with the same gal. Right. You might get it all within 2 or 3 girls, sort of thing. Like, you know, Becky ticks off 9 out of 10 and then Rachel ticks off like the other one for you, sort of thing. Like, that's potentially possible. But I mean, men and women have different checklists, don't they? Like, when you ask a woman what their checklist is, it's pretty long. You know, it's pretty extensive, especially when they sit down with their committee. He's got to be this. He's got to be that. He's got to be this. He's got to be that. He's got to da, 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 da. It's like, holy shit. Like, where are you going to find this guy? Guys, like most guys' checklists are, is sexually available.
Yeah.
It's not very complicated for most guys. Now, that was my checklist when I was younger too. Now it's, okay, that's not a big deal anymore. I figured that part out. It's easy to, you know, satiate that. But, you know, is she a compliment to my life? You know, can she cook? Does she have culinary skills? Is she pleasant? Does she have a low to no notch count, right? You know, she doesn't have like a zoo in her house. You ever date these gals that have like 15 animals in their house?
Oh yeah.
And you walk through the front door and all you smell is urine, right? Yeah. Like, there's a lot of deal breakers for a lot of guys. So again, like, for most guys, it just boils down to, is she pretty and is she sexually available? We don't really care about their jobs. I don't care if a chick makes $40,000 a year or $400,000 a year. In fact, the girl that makes $400,000 a year, she doesn't share her pot of gold with me anyway. It's not like she's going to be buying me shit, because women don't do that. So, like, what difference does it make? She's probably going to be more bossy and more disagreeable than the $40,000 a year girl, right? So, you know, a lot of these things are moving targets. Like, this is a big puzzle with 100, maybe it's 100 pieces for some guys. For other guys, it might be 1,000 pieces. It's just a big puzzle with a bunch of different pieces, and you got to decide what's right for you.
I don't know if you've been on it, but if you haven't been on it or you haven't had him on, you should have Patrick McDavid on, Valuetainment. We had him on, and he this will always stick out with me forever. He said, when I was dating girls, you know, I was in Vegas going out, blah, blah, blah. And he would say, look, I like you, but you're never going to be the mother to my kids. And if you don't like that, basically kick rocks.
Yeah.
If he finds the woman that he likes that he wants to marry, before they marry, they want to go to a therapist. Mm-hmm. So he walks into the therapist, you know, and there, you know, okay, blah, blah, blah. He says to the therapist, how long have you been married? Therapist says, 30 years. Pat says, what is the most important thing that kept you guys, you know, married for 30 years? Or what is the most important thing or your favorite time of being married? And the therapist goes, well, we have dinner every night at 6 o'clock. Pat goes, here's your 200 and walks out the door, right? Wife is saying, what did I do wrong? And Pat is like, no, nothing. I'm never going to be home at 6 p.m. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm trying to take over the world. I'm never going to be home at 6 p.m. And I thought that was admirable. And it goes along with a lot that you say as well, that you just be upfront. You know, like, I'm not going to be at home at 6. You know, I'm trying to do a lot of things. And if that's the kind of guy you're looking for, yeah.
And it takes a special kind of woman to like bend the knee and yield to a strong man's frame like that. Like, you know, PBD is a, you know, he's a very strong character, and not all women, especially the party girls from Vegas, you know, maybe the ones that he was dating before, would be a good fit for him in a long-term relationship, right? So, again, you know, like what you're doing as a guy in your 20s when you're in your party, you know, time, or even early 30s, you know, hanging out, going to Vegas, doing a Ibiza, film can, this, that, and the other thing, 12 hours a night, you start meeting all these women. And if you start thinking about children, you know, sort of thing, or like, you know, am I going to put some babies in her? Then you want to find the right kind of gal for that, right? And I think one of the most important predictors is, one, does she enter your frame and complement your life? And two, is she pure? You know, like, I don't want to put babies in a woman that's been with 50 guys. It's disgusting, right? Like, 50 other guys have been there. Like, you know, when you think about that, there, you know, guys get repulsed by that, but women generally don't. They're like, oh, he's got some experience. Good.
Yeah.
Or other women have chosen him. Good, right? Because women like pre-selection too, right? Like, they want to be with guys that other women like.
Or nowadays, the guy is like, well, that was her past, and I have her now. But to me, I agree with you. I'm like, I don't care if that's her past or not. 50 guys have been up in that. Okay, if you want to play around, fine. But you know, to have my kid then pop out of you too. I mean, I don't know.
She's been, you know, she's been with 50 guys. She's been with, you know, 50 different. She's got 50 different pieces of luggage with her. You know, from that. From that past.
Going,
you know,
back to that.
You don't want to deal with that.
Hell no. And this kind of goes with the famous line. What's your thoughts on, you know, Harvey Weinstein, Bill Cosby, especially Weinstein? Because I'm sure, you know, he did whatever he did. But a lot of it, it's hard for me to believe that these young actors going in for a part, and whether he says get naked and, you know, let me jerk off to you or whatever, it's hard for me to believe that every one of them didn't know that that was going to happen, weren't okay with it happening to get the part in the role, being that, you know, they were just whatever, you know, there's 10,000 people trying to get this role, but if you get naked and let me jerk off, I'll make sure you get the role. It's hard for me to believe that all these women weren't okay with that to get the role. That's me saying that.
Yeah, well, they were okay with it at the time. Like that was the deal. You know, they made that exchange. But like I stated earlier, women always reserve the right to change their mind at any given time. So if 10 years down the road, 20 years down the road, there's this new hashtag trending called Me Too. And then you've got a story to tell. Let's all jump on the bandwagon. There's money involved in that.
Yep.
Right? I was taken advantage of. I don't get roles anymore. You know, there's any number of stories that they'll tell themselves. But, you know, like, I don't know the full story. I don't know what he said or did exactly. I don't know what they said or did exactly. But, you know, to your point, I'm pretty sure they knew what they were getting into when they did that.
Yeah. I only watched part of it. The one real documentary is called She Said. I watched part of it. But I meant it. I mentioned those names, but I just meant it as a whole, as if, you know, as if a lot of these women, and forget Weinstein, whoever it is, if you go in and you can, and a woman or even a guy, hey, if you're going to give me $100 million to play with Leonardo DiCaprio, what do you want me to do, depending on what it is? Mm. You know what I mean? I mean, it's just, to me, it's just, it's nature. And a lot of things that you say in your book, this goes back to the beginning of time. Like, if you know anything about history, which they don't teach anymore, the way it was the man was the man. Man went out and got the food, brought it back. He was the provider, protector. I mean, it's been like that. That's human nature. So isn't that kind of still instilled in the woman's DNA?
I think it is, as we evolve, right?
And that's kind of what they're looking for in a way. But then you got all this social media shoved in their face, brainwashing them.
Yep.
This episode is brought to you by Fiji. More than just water.
This is not just rock. It's ancient volcanic rock that filters tropical rain, giving it double the electrolytes and its signature soft, smooth taste. It's not just water. It's Fiji water.
This podcast is brought to you by Monster Energy. Tear into a can of the meanest energy drink on the planet, Monster Energy. It's the ideal combo of the right ingredients in the right proportion to deliver a big bad buzz that only Monster can. Monster packs a powerful punch, has a smooth, easy drinking flavor. Athletes, musicians, co-eds, road warriors, metalheads, geeks, hipsters, and bikers dig it. You will too. Monster Energy is more than just the green OG. Monster has Monster Ultra, Juice Monster, Monster Hydro, Rehab Monster, Dragon Tea, Monster Max, Muscle Monster, and many more. Buy on Amazon, buy on Walmart, or go to monsterenergy.com and believe me, you'll find a place. Unleash the beast. Monster Energy.
Yeah, there's cultural there's nurture and there's nature, right?
Yeah,
you know, the whole nurture element from culture, Hollywood, society, media, you know, advertisers, all of that stuff is going to have an impact on your life and how you operate and like the lens in which you view the world, right? And then there's a nature part, which is why, you know, women, when they hit like 39, they're on dating apps like crazy trying to find a husband and have a family, because their biological clock is, it's not even ticking. It's like yelling at them going, "Hey lady, where's the baby?" Right. And it's, you know, they start to panic. So that's the nature part of things. Right. And, you know, women are on a timeline. Men aren't generally on the same timeline, right? Like women's eggs run out, or the ability to have healthy children diminishes as they get older. I know lots of guys that are in their 40s or even early 50s that have had very healthy children, you know, but they did it with younger women in, you know, their late 20s or early 30s or something like that. So, you know, there's a whole nature versus nurture argument. And, you know, if you buy the lies, if you buy, you know, the comforting lies that society sells, then there's consequences to that. And that's what I talk about. I just talk about the uncomfortable truth. And because a lot of it shines a light on areas that the comforting lies have blinded people, like women are beauty objects, men are success objects. Women have an expiry date on their beauty. Women have an expiry date on their fertility. You start having conversations like that, that's when they get mad. Oh, you're a misogynist. And they start yelling at you and pointing fingers. It's like, I'm just stating facts and observations that people 500 years ago knew and actually still inherently know today. But because it's not comfortable and it goes against you climbing the corporate ladder and getting degrees and, you know, buying all this stuff and being a boss girl or sleeping with 50 or 100 guys, because it goes against all of those things, don't get mad at me, right? This is how we're all programmed to see things. That's why guys are inherently disgusted by promiscuous women. It's not me saying that. That's just reality.
And now, Rich, do you think this whole agenda, you know, all the censor, see, I think it's all connected. The COVID, the trans, the sex change, I think it all connects.
Yeah.
But do you think that the agenda is the depopulation? Because the more you push this, the less baby. Like, what is the agenda? Because, you know, there has to be something behind it, you know.
Yeah, that's the multi-million dollar question, right? Is there a bunch of crazy elites in a room somewhere, you know, collaborating this with a WF or Klaus Schwab? Or is there a puppet master pulling the strings? And, you know, it seems like you'd be giving them a lot more credit than they're due. Like, you know, I just think that it's human nature. Yeah, there's probably an element of the global elite somewhere that are planning this at Davos or the WEF or something like that. I don't know. But, you know, like, is the world overpopulated? I don't know. Like, the last time I was on a long haul flight and I looked out the window at the landscape, a lot of North America doesn't have cities. It's like wide open land, right? So I don't understand the overpopulation argument. I don't think it exists. Yeah, there's 8 billion people on a planet. I'm pretty sure the planet can handle a few more.
I think they want to get rid of a lot for AGI, AI. Look, when somebody
Well,
comes in, when they come
I
into
think
the
if anything, my
studio,
friend, it's probably a control mechanism more than anything. And if
yeah,
you have less of the population, it's going to be easier to
they're to
control. And at the
control.
same time,
Well said.
if you're trying to contract the population, make them slower, dumber, stupider, more compliant. Did you ever see the movie Idiocracy?
No, but I will.
It's hilarious. You got to see it. The timeline is they freeze this guy, he thaws out in the future, and in the future everybody's an idiot. They don't know how to operate the irrigation systems to water, you know, the fields where the plants grow. Everything's dirty, everything's dilapidated, falling apart. It seems like the movie Idiocracy is actually going to be a documentary rather than a fictional comedy, which is what they portrayed it to be. It was done by Mike Judge, right? The
Oh,
guy that did
okay.
Beavis and
Beavis
Butthead
and
and all that
Butthead,
stuff.
yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, like as a society and as a culture, I think we're becoming more dependent on Big Daddy State. We're becoming more group thinkers, you know, because of the large urban centers. It's like, oh, what's trending now? What do we have to be mad about this week, you know? And it's like one thing after the like the whole, if you're not vaccinated, we're all going to die. That disappeared very quickly.
Yeah.
And then, you know, what's the next trending thing? Oh, if you don't include, you know, trans women or real women, then you're a whateverist sort of thing. It's like there's always some new outrage that the mainstream media, that the government tries to, you know, get on people. There's a news network here, the Canadian Broadcast Corp, is basically run by the Liberal government, Justin Trudeau, right?
Justin Trudeau.
They provide, I think, 70% of the funding. I think Elon Musk, who's the world's best troll, did this brilliantly
Yeah.
because he put on their media profile 69% or 69% or less funded, right? So it's like
Yeah.
all of these outlets, my friend, they're all controlled by state. You
Yeah.
know, all the talking points. You ever see those edits, you know, those clips where they take all the newscasters and it's one person saying it, then it's two
And it
people,
all matches.
and it all matches,
Yeah, it all matches. I saw it. Yeah.
and they do all the voiceover and they're all saying the exact same thing
Fucking
like
nuts.
sheep. But it's like, okay, somebody's pulling the strings here. This is not a coincidence.
Well, now I don't. And Rich, look, you know, you're a big time entrepreneur. Think about it. You get the COVID, they're making a ton of money on that bullshit. They don't care
Oh,
who
yeah.
dies. Then you go to the trans, tons of money on that. Oh, let's go back to the insurance companies. Let's have 13-year-olds change their body parts. The money that they're making on
That's
that.
disgusting. I can't believe they're doing that to children,
It's
man.
unbelievable. It's sick. And now here in the US, you have the HRT clinics, which you
Yeah.
think is a good thing. Now, what doctor in the right mind is going to give you a boatload of testosterone with no anti-estrogen? Why? So that now when you get off of that, or you say, I'm tired of taking this shot. Now you have to go back again because you want to feel good again because they didn't give you an anti-estrogen. And this cycle just goes on and on and on. And it's
Yeah.
money. So now they come up with a new idea. Okay, let's push it down Instagram, blah, blah, blah. And then they bring up the TikTok shit with China. Sure, it's China, but you know they're all doing the same thing. It's
Yeah.
just that happens to be China.
Yeah.
It's
Yeah,
absolutely insane.
they teach a lot of inclusivity and everybody's the same here. Whereas if you go to schools in place like China, for example, they teach masculinity, man. They teach kids boxing. They teach kids, you know, like different forms of physical activity that they don't encourage you to, you know, participate in here. You look at people here in North America, most of them are overweight. They're not
Yeah.
healthy. They're sick. They're on prescription drugs. You know, they're diabetic. They got to take pills for like everything. It's like, okay, well, that pill solves that problem. Then you need this pill to solve
Yeah.
that problem that the prior pill created to solve that problem, sort of thing. And it's like big pharma companies, they're not in the business of health care. They're in the business of sick care. They keep you just healthy enough that you're not dead, but not so sick that you're dying. So there's that kind of sweet spot where they can make the real money.
Yeah.
So anybody that's like, oh, pharma companies love you, the government loves you, education loves you, Hollywood, all a bunch of idiots. You know, these are just people that I don't spend a lot of time there.
No, I want it. Like, I have if I get sick, you know, I text Peter McCullough, Dr. Malone, or Dr. Agresti, same type of guy. I will go to a PCP. I will not, nor will my kid. No way, no way. You know, what's your diet like, just out of curiosity?
I'm pretty healthy. You know, I eat real clean. I mean, I just had a boxing match and I'm at like, you know, 15% body fat. I'm 215 pounds, 6'2". Like I'm built pretty strong and I eat really well and I exercise a lot. I look around at most guys my age and they're nowhere near close to me. Like the guy that I fought on Sunday, he's 20 years younger than me.
Whew.
Right. And I won.
Good for you.
Right. So it's like, you know, you don't have to age quickly and rapidly and sickly and, you know, live in a unhealthy body. It's like, you know, you make consistent, good, strong choices with what you put in your face and what you do with your time and, you know, sleep and all that stuff. You don't need a lot of this stuff that they try to cram down your throat, man.
And I have your website up and you'll be popping up. It says, Unplug the matrix of comforting lies with the cold, hard, uncomfortable truths and become the best version of yourself. That's a good homepage statement.
I live it, man. Yeah. I live it. I mean, you know, if I didn't do it, then I wouldn't be standing here talking to you right now, right?
And you got supplements, you got the courses, and anybody
can I got a great supplement line. Beautiful products. Like, I only put out the best stuff. If I'm going to put my name on it, it's got to be the best stuff. Bottom line.
You have Alpha Zinc. How important, you know, I we both know, Peter, how important is zinc to take on a daily basis? And you know how Walmart, and I think people should really pay attention to this, because, you know, Walmart, GNC here in the States, they had a whole row of vitamins. Eventually, somebody went in and tested them, and nothing was in it.
The green, so, yellow one.
The green, Nature Valley, whatever it is, and they pulled it. Yeah. Because, you know, it says here in the U.S., these statements have not been regulated by the FDA, blah, 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 blah. Obviously, Rich, you know, you're not out to make $19 on fake zinc. You know what I mean?
That's the thing. You know, some people get mad because it's like, oh, your products are too expensive. It's like, don't buy them then. You know, buy the shit that you want off Walmart or off Amazon. You know, it may not have the ingredients that you think it has. Like, a lot of this stuff, like, you know, zinc, you're asking about zinc, it plays a huge role in testosterone production, immune function, you know, your nervous system. Like, everything that's stacked in that supplement line is, I use it all myself anyway, right? I mean, you can't get the nutrients that you want from going to the grocery store anymore, because a lot of the soils are completely depleted of a lot of the minerals and elements that are required for that plant to absorb it. And then, you know, you put it in a salad and you eat and you get the same thing. Like, our soils are depleted now with a lot of these things that we needed in the past. So you can eat as much salad as you want, but you're still probably not going to get the amount of potassium that you need from the salads. I take a potassium supplement also because of that, right? You need like 4,000 or 5,000 milligrams of potassium daily, right? So, like, there's lots of things that people don't understand. And you know, sometimes when I get in these conversations, like, oh, Rich, tinfoil hat, blah, 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 you know what you're talking about. I get my stuff from Amazon or from Walmart. It's just fine. Okay. How's it working out for you?
Yeah. It's doing nothing.
You know?
It's doing nothing.
Can you step in a boxing ring and fight a guy that's 20 years younger than you?
No.
Let's see it.
We both know that answer. And the other thing that isn't on yours, it will say zinc. And then in parentheses, where you need a magnifying glass, it will say, you know, something else, you know, like alpha anhydride or whatever, know what I mean? So you got the zinc. What is DIM? Alpha DIM. DIM.
DIM. It's dimethyl. I can't remember what it's.
Dimethazine.
I got it over here.
Yeah, it's like the NAD. It helps with the NAD.
What it does is it helps slow down or stop the aromatization of testosterone to estrogen. So DIM is basically like broccoli. It's like cruciferous vegetables, cauliflower, kale, broccoli. They extract the DIM and they just put it in a capsule. So, like, one of the problems that a lot of guys have today is they're pear-shaped, right? Like, they have female breast tissue.
Yeah.
And they got a big gut. And if you have a lot of weight around your midsection, then you've got a lot of the aromatized enzyme. So whatever testosterone your body's going to produce, a good chunk of it will convert to estrogen, and that's how you end up with a man titties.
And see, I'm a fan of the higher pricing, because especially after knowing who you are and talking to you, because I know what I'm taking is actually in it. Alpha-Z, my sleep's been a wreck forever. And a lot of people, others too. It's just because my mind's one of those ones. I just keep going and going and going and going.
Yeah.
So talk a little bit about Alpha-Z and also the products. I'm going to get most of them.
Yeah, so all the products, like, I didn't invent these products, by the way. Like, this is a white label. So.
Oh, no, you didn't invent zinc?
No. Actually, how I got into the supplement line, and I'm not a big fan of physical products, is because I had a coaching client dealing with something in his personal life. At the end of the call, he's like, "Hey, man, you got a pretty big audience. Have you thought about selling supplements? This is what we do." Da 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 da. I said, "Whatever." You know, I was like, I kind of blew it off because I thought it was just another bullshit pitch. I said, "You know, send me some samples." Everything came in hard glass bottles. Mm. Nothing was a hard capsule. They were all caplets that were filled with powder. I'm like, "Oh, this is interesting." So then I got on a call with him and then the nutrition director, and I learned about, and it's a very high quality supplement line, right? So that's why I had, just said, okay, fine, let's white label it, and you'll agree to do it, sort of thing. Everything that I've put out there, like the sleep product, for example, Alpha-Z, all the ingredients, I had shit sleep during my 30s. I had a colicky baby. Then I went through a shitty divorce. Then I had issues going on in my business. Trust me, there was like years where I was lucky to get like 3 or 4 hours of sleep.
Sounds like my life. Sounds like my life about 2 years ago. That's why I'm asking.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, man, like, this sucks. Like, I used to wake up to an alarm when I was in my 20s and have to hit snooze to go back to sleep, because I would sleep like 10, 11, 12 hours and go back to sleep, whatever. Now it's like I could barely get 3, 4 hours of sleep. And I was like, I had to do something to fix my sleep. So I hired a guy that was coaching me on that sort of stuff. I looked at my blood panels, my nutrition panels. I changed the temperature in my room, made it cold. I got a chili pad, put it on my bed. It cools down the bed. I have blackout curtains, on the windows. I take the right supplements at night, which is the Alpha-Z product. I basically took that off the shelf and I put my label on it because it's a great sleep product. So it's got all the right ingredients to help get you to sleep and keep you to sleep. Did a sleep study, got a CPAP machine. It was very uncomfortable for the first month or two. Think it's like a nose pillow. It goes on your nose.
Yeah.
Man, I sleep so good now. I sleep so good.
That's so awesome.
Right. So, I mean, when you have these problems in your life and if you're serious about fixing them, like, you'll tackle them. Like, I'm just that guy, right? Like, I'm very, this is a problem. I'm not dealing with it anymore. Let's go fix it. Right. So doing all those things, it wasn't one thing that I can say, well, just take the supplement and you'll sleep better, or just make your room as dark as possible and you'll sleep better. I think it's all those things combined that helped to restore my sleep and just improve the quality of everything. Like, I wore a SpO2 monitor on my finger for months to track my blood oxygen at different times of the night. I get very geeky with that stuff. So I knew that there was supplementation that you can
too,
take
Rich.
At night.
I have a thing too at night, because I'm trying to get my, that's why I'm harping on the supplements. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, it is. When you want that, you tackle it. But it's
tough, the supplement
here,
helps you fall asleep faster and stay asleep longer. Yeah. That's a good part of it. But a lot of guys, as you get older, like, I'm not obese or anything like that, but I have sleep apnea, right? And I didn't know that I had it until I did the sleep study and I was tracking my blood oxygen. Then I got the CPAP machine. I had to try different nose pieces. I sleep amazing now, right? So, I mean, if you're serious about all that stuff, if you're not breathing at night, if you're not staying asleep at night, you're not getting good restful sleep, deep sleep, you can get these rings. So this is an Oura ring over here on my ring finger. Mm-hmm. You can get these rings and they track your sleep data, your blood oxygen, movement, all that stuff. There's lots of stuff. I've even got videos on my channel where I talk about the best ways to improve your sleep too, on my podcast list as well.
And I think this all falls back into the playbook and as an entrepreneur, because when you feel better, you're going to be better in business. When you feel better, you're going to be sharper when it comes to picking the right woman and going with the red flags.
As you get older, I'll tell you this to the young guys watching this right now. If you're in your 20s, you don't contemplate any of this stuff. I didn't. My life in my 20s was get on my sport bike and race with my friends till 4 o'clock in the morning sort of thing, and then sleep in the rest of the day. Now it's like I'm happy to go to bed at 9:30, get a wicked night's sleep, have some epic sex in the morning when you get up, you have a great day, you're productive, all that stuff. But, when you're firing on all cylinders, life is just better.
Yeah, and that's why I think checking out these supplements are so important. If you see them, try one. If you like them, then go back and get the other ones. Or you can go to Walmart and spend $8.99 and take bullshit.
Yeah.
And just throw their money in the trash.
Exactly.
You say there's four main pillars to success with women. Looks, status, money, game. What area do most guys lack in? You know, money, I guess that's a give or take. Yeah. In general.
So I've actually expanded that because I had a few coaching clients that were very successful. They had a lot of that stuff, status, money, looks, you know, they were in really good shape sort of stuff. And I had to add captivation to that list and also being unplugged, you know, as well. So now there's being unplugged from the lies, looks, money, status, game, frame, and captivation. I think the captivation part gets overlooked a lot, especially by the guys in the dating sphere. Like a lot of these younger kids are just like, looks, money, game is all that matters sort of thing. It's like, no. Because if you're loaded and you're 50 or 60 years old and you've been through a marriage or two and you're divorced and you're boring, you don't have hobbies, you think you're going to get girls to stick around if you're boring as shit? No, like you have to lead a captivating life. I was talking to this guy one time and he's like, you know, Rich, I got lots of money. I love overlanding my, I can't remember what it was, a Jeep or something like that in the Arizona desert sort of thing. He goes, but I have the hardest time getting girls and keeping girls. I'm like, you're kidding, right? We're on video. You know, he calls into my podcast show. We're on video. And I said, you're a good looking guy. How tall are you? What do you weigh? Okay. So you're not fat. You know, you're in good shape and you're tall. I'm like, why aren't they sticking around? Well, you know, this, that, and the other thing. I go, what do you do that's fun? You know, like what activities are you doing that you invite them into? And he's like, well, I do this stuff with my buddies. I'm like, here's the plan, buddy. The next girl that you invite out on a date, like for date number two, like just do a coffee date, you know, do a sniff test, see if you dig her vibe, see if she's interested in you. Just do that for the first date. I go, second date, you're going to do an overlanding adventure. You're going to instruct her to pack a picnic. Okay. Because you guys are going to be out there for a few hours and you're going to take her to see the best sunset she's ever seen. You know, a place where you can do that, right? Oh yeah. I got this canyon, this whatever place it's called. Good. So you're going to park the Jeep there. She's going to roll out the picnic, da 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 da. Long story short, they spend the night together, right? She has the best time ever. He can't keep, like, he's got girls that won't leave him now, right? Like, captivation is an incredibly important part of attracting and retaining women because, as they say, you can do anything to a woman you want except bore her.
Yep. I think that motorcycle thing is number one because I never get, you know, throwing her on the back. I mean, yeah. I think the bike's number one.
I miss motorcycles so much. I'm so tempted to get another one.
I was just going to tell you that. I live in Florida now. When I lived up north, you know, it was more safe. Down here in Florida, you got half of Florida's God's waiting room that can't see. Yeah. And then the other half drive like complete lunatics. So complete lunatics. Right? Nuts. So when I came down here,
there's no helmet laws there either, too, right? No. So a lot of guys roll without helmets.
No, still. No, you should see these guys. I mean, because there's a lot of traffic at 5, these guys go in and out, and I've had them all, the Harleys, I've probably had 15 bikes. And when I see these guys do this, they'll come by me, and I go, whoa. And I just, whoa, I don't know how he's going to make it. And down here, what's funny is the cops aren't allowed to chase them because, it's a risk of
it's
more
too
of a
dangerous,
Yeah. But every single week, I get this tempted to go back and get because I miss that so much. And when you do have a girl, there's nothing like it. You could be fighting for hours about some bullshit. Come on, let's take a ride on the bike, you know?
Yeah. 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 If you get a gal on the back of your bike and you show her a good time that night, she's totally hooked.
Game over.
Yeah.
And what was the other one that you added? I thought it would have been charisma.
Charisma is part of like having game with women. It's, you know, it's like built into that. So again, it's unplugging or being unplugged from, you know, society's lies, because truthfully, women don't want sheep, right? Like they want to be with a giant. They want to be with a strong, virtuous man that leads. You got to be good looking, right? Like you can't have bad style, bad clothing, unkept, untidy. You got to make the most out of what you get. You know, if you're losing your hair, shave your head. If you're losing your hair, get a hair transplant, you know, if that's an option. Like, just do something, right? So the looks component, having money, you can't be poor. Women like successful men. Men are success objects. So get your money sorted out. Status, having a nice online presence is great. you don't need much. You know, you don't have to be an influencer or anything like that or have a podcast or anything. But, you know, if you're competent, you're funny, you do good things, you have good friends, you have a good social network, take some pictures while you're out and post them on Instagram. When you meet women, they're like, hey, what's your Instagram? You know, they want to look you up. They want to do their research on you, especially with their committee, right? So there's that. Having some status. You know, when I walk into the sushi restaurant that I frequent, there's this boutique one where the Japanese guy, you know, it's a very small place, like 4 or 5 tables, you know, Mr. Cooper, like, you know, like they show the respect, you know, they bring, you know, they bring to you what you want when you want it, right? They're very like,
and they know like your name, status. They know you by yeah. name. Yeah,
they know your name, right?
That's a big
thing.
You know,
having some game with women, knowing how to play them, you know, and not play them in a detrimental or a mean way, but know how to be playful with women, right? Like, game is part of that. Having frame. So again, you know, you set healthy boundaries around the relationship. Hey, Rich, I want to claim you. I don't want to share you. You know, where do we stand? Okay, cool. But I don't take women seriously that post provocative pictures on social media. So where do we stand with that, first of all? You know, sort of thing. Like, that's what frame is, you know, having some boundaries with women, sort of thing. And of course, there's the captivation, which is the 7th one.
What is it with these guys? Like their hairline's almost back to their neck, and they just don't shave it. They don't shave. And like, even like LeBron James, he's been down here and got 37. I mean, the guy's got a ton of money. He's got 37 hair transplants. Just shave it. Like, what is
it
with
this? I don't get it either.
Like, just shave the shit.
I don't know. Some people are like, I don't like the shape of my head, or they got moles on their head or whatever reason. I don't know. It's like the whole Seinfeld episode when Elaine was making fun of George. It's like, you know, you're just holding on to scraps. You know, that always stuck with me. It's like, you know, I kept the hair as long as I did. And then when it wasn't working out, then I just clipped it down and I shaved it. Right. Like, so what? It's just hair. Right. Like, I have no problem. Like, okay, there's some women that don't like guys that are bald. Fine. There's like 70% of the population that still does. Who cares? Right? Like, it doesn't matter. It's but people get very, very self-conscious about things
yeah.
like that.
It's not, and even like the actors, you know, I've seen them do it. They'll play big roles in movies.
Yeah. Like what's his name? Matthew McConaughey. Like, his hairline is a mystery, right? Like, it's gotten better and better over time.
Yeah.
And possibly better and better over time, right? You know, there's entire YouTube channels that are dedicated to analyzing somebody's hairline, when they got their grafts, how they did it. It's like, the obsession is real, right?
You should see Bradley Cooper's. We have Bradley Cooper coming at. We had joked with him prior. You should. They have the fucking doctor that he went to build a site, and in his SEO, it's like Bradley Cooper's hair transplant guy.
Yeah.
And then you could find 50 sites of his hair graph or whatever, and it wasn't that much. And it's, they're so obsessed with that. And that's it's just self-conscious, right?
Well, there's guys that will break their legs now to gain 2 or 3 inches in height. I don't know if you've seen that.
Yeah, I know. I mean, like, look, I'd love to be 6 foot tall.
How insane do you have to be to break your freaking legs to gain 2 or 3 inches in height?
What do they do?
To realistically get a very low tier chick anyway, you know, at the end of the day.
Rich, break your leg.
What do they do? Stem cells?
That's fucking nuts.
No. They literally break their thigh legs, and then they insert this pusher mechanism that slowly stretches out and bone fills in the vacant space. It's very painful. There's videos on YouTube about people that have done this. Apparently it's exceptionally painful.
What's the healing process on that, I wonder?
Months. It takes a long time to heal. And even then, your legs will be 3 inches longer, but your arms will be the same length. Yeah. So you're going to have weird proportions.
Maybe you have to break your arms then.
Now you got to break
That'll
your
be
arms.
The next thing is breaking your arms to match your legs.
Match your legs.
Nuts. I saw that. Like, breaking your leg, buddy. Wow. Like, it's that important to break your leg. You know, you see some of these athletes have broken their legs, and like, are you nuts? Like, you go into the doctor and put your leg up there and say, yes, sir, I'd like 2 fucking inches. Break my leg, you know, or break my 2 legs, and then show me how to walk again, too.
Yeah.
I have
friends that told me that they were contemplating. I said, if you do that, I'm not going to be your friend anymore. You can fuck off.
Well, what are some of the most, you know, you've been all over the place. What are some of the most disabling lies that men have been told and actually believe it? Some of these speakers I can name, they got big names. They're nothing like you. You're the real deal, Holyfield. But some of these other ones, I mean, they're worth a ton. But
yeah, it's like, you know, be yourself, be a nice guy, you know, show her your emotions.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I wanted. I saw that a lot in the book. When I was reading the book last night, where did this nice guy shit come from? Like, where did this come from, and how do you define it to those who haven't read the book, get the book?
I can't really say where it came from, but I have a strong suspicion that it's come mostly from single mother households. Like, you know, 20, 30 years ago, most families were intact. And even if they did get divorced, the kids usually split time with both the parents, sort of thing, right? Now, I think the number is something like 43% of kids growing up today live in a single parent household. And because women get custody like 80% of the time plus, it's mostly, you know, kids living with their mom, you know, for the most part. And these women, despite their best intentions to raise, you know, men, you can't raise a man out of a boy if you're a woman. So they're really just beta male factories. You know, like these single mother households are just training the next generation of the nice guy, because the bad guy that she got married to, that either didn't stick around or she pushed out of the household or was a bad choice, and you know, whatever he happened to be, she doesn't want that, you know, with her son. She wants the nice guy. So I think that they program the nice guy into a lot of boys today. And I've seen that in a lot of my coaching, like a lot of the guys that come to me and book my time, and, you know, they grew up in a single mother household. And even though some of them can be very, very successful, make a lot of money, they still, you know, defer to the feminine. They still bend the knee to all women. And it's always like, be that nice, sweet sort of guy. And nothing dries up a woman more than a nice guy, right? Like, women will cry on the shoulder of a nice guy, but she'll go off and bang Mr. Exciting.
Right? Yeah. Alpha. Right? Alpha.
Yeah.
From the beginning of time.
Yeah. It's always been that way.
And in you know, when you go out and you coach and everything, and this is just my opinion, but let's pretend we put 100,000 people in this room right now. What do you think they would say is a passion-filled life? What do you think they would say that haven't talked to you, that are working on that? What do you think they would say? And then what are some of the things you would do to try to change their way of thinking? Because a lot of people think, if I have money, I'm good. If I have a hot girlfriend, I'm good. And, you know, there was a time in my life I had two Lamborghinis, two Bentley, everything you can imagine. And I remember walking down, like, in the middle of the night, looking in my garage, and I'm like, why am I not happy? You know, why am I miserable? I'm still miserable. You know, and then I would keep buying stuff to try to make me happy. And then go get the new bike, or go trade in the Lamborghini. Why they stopped making the Gallardo, I don't know. But, I, you know, get the new one, this, that, the other, but wasn't happy. So what would you say?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. You know, they say that money doesn't matter after about $80,000 a year, right? Like, like your level of happiness,
yeah,
like everything's covered. You know, your bare essentials, shelter, food, all that sort of stuff is covered. So it's just like, the scale and size of the toys that you can buy, the scale and size of the experiences that you can immerse yourself into, that changes as you make more money. So I don't think money equals happiness, but at the same time, I've never seen a guy crying in a Lamborghini.
No.
Right.
Nah. Believe me, I wasn't crying when I was in it, or I wasn't depressed when I was in it at all.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, it, you know, it gives you the opportunity to buy certain, I mean, you can buy a seat in a room. You can buy a place on a yacht. You can buy a seat on a plane. You can buy, you know, accommodation on Richard Branson's private island, right? Like, I've seen all these opportunities, you know, presented. So does money matter? Yeah. People that say that money doesn't buy happiness, I think they're shopping probably in the wrong spot, because I'm smiling from ear to ear. I'm driving my McLaren, man.
Yeah, like, you know, anybody who says money doesn't buy happiness is full of shit. But that's they've never had money, obviously. But that's not the whole package, though, right?
No, it's not. No, there's a lot more to it. Like, again, I think that, you know, for the most part, a lot of guys, they just sort of subscribe to conventional wisdom and conventional ideas, which is find a wife, have a family, and everything will be tickety boo. But the divorce rate's 50%. And I've seen studies on this too. Like, you ask a bunch of couples that have been together for 8 years. I think 8 years was the average time. Take a guess what, it's in the book, so you probably know the answers to this, but the amount of people that reported that they expressed a sense of deep, undying love for their partner was only 13%. The amount of people that expressed obsession with their partner, so probably the highest level of love, you know, was something like 3%. So the vast majority of people that are together after 8 years are really not that happy, right? So it's like
they're more like roommates, that if, right? They're more just roommates,
pretty much.
Yeah,
yeah, and you know, there's a lot of BS that guys have the opportunity to consume. One of the ones that I see that pops up a lot too is, you know, it happens in like private Facebook groups, because I'm in a bunch of these groups, I'm just a fly on the wall, but whenever something pops up in the algorithm, it shows on the screen. And it's like these guys that think that the five love languages are the way to resolve their marriage. And, you know, the guy will be there and he'll be typing his thing. He's like, you know, I do the dishes and I look after the kids and I put them to bed and I get them in the morning and I make their breakfast, but my wife hasn't banged me in 3 months. And I don't know what to do.
Christ.
And it's like, you know, then you get all these geeks that sort of chime in. They're like, well, what's her love language? Because maybe it's like, you know, words of affirmation sort of thing. It's like that whole love language thing has been dispelled completely. It has no bearing whatsoever on attraction and, you know, women showing genuine burning desire for a guy at all.
At all.
But, you know, these guys will go and see all that stuff. And it's like, maybe they grew up in the, you know, the whole just be a nice guy space. Or maybe they grew up in the be the knight in shining armor thing, or, you know, sacrifice yourself and do all of her jobs while she's doing nothing and she's still not banging you sort of thing. So it's like, there's really no quick and easy answer to that. And I think anybody that sells you like a three-step program to get to that is full of shit, first of all. So it's like, you have to take ownership for your life, make yourself your own mental point of origin, do the work on yourself, be a captivating, like there's lots of work that you have to do on yourself. And that's really what I talk about in the book. Like the book is really just, you know, be the better version of yourself sort of thing. And then once you've done that and you want women in your life, you want to invite women in your life, only invite great women that are a compliment to your life, because at that point you're a top shelf guy anyway. Why would you put up with bullshit?
Yeah. I had a guy, I was trying to figure out about this meditation thing. Remember? And I had this guy in and he pulled up, he kept wanting to pull up this Excel thing on the screen. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, well, here we go. And as soon as I saw love language, Rob, take it down. We're not doing this today. We're not that right away, man. No way. You're not getting me. I'm not sitting listening to that shit. A couple more things. So as successful as you are as an entrepreneur, say there's somebody watching this. They have $50,000. You know, they look up to you. They see all the things you've done. They get your book, an awesome book, courses, website, 3 YouTube channels that are successful, among other things. How would you, and they don't really know what to do. You know, they have the drive, but they don't. Somebody has 50 grand. They want to be an entrepreneur. What's one or two tips you would give them to get them going in the right direction, not what these fools tell them to do?
What's the 50 grand for?
No, I'm just saying, like, they only have 50,000 in the bank. Okay. And they're working to success.
Well, if that's the case, then I would buy my School of Entrepreneurship course, which happens to be open for enrollment, which may not be open when you publish this video. But
very good.
So this is a very long conversation. I've just done 2 casts this week on my channel on the topic of playing to win versus playing not to lose, and why I put the course together, because I get that question a lot. Like, I want to start a business, right? It's like, good, awesome, good start from there. You probably don't need to borrow money. You probably need to structure the business in such a way that it's got a high propensity for success, because people don't understand, 9 out of 10 times, most businesses fail within about 3 years. So the 10% of the businesses that survive after 3 years, out of the ones that are still living and breathing, making money and being run, I think something like 98% of those never crack more than $1 million a year in annual sales. So companies like Amazon, Facebook, Twitter, they're all exceptionally rare. Like, these are not common. The chances of somebody starting a business and cracking more than $1 million in annual sales, going public, making vast multiples, having a huge exit is very, very small. But you can increase your opportunity for that success. There's this notion of easy, lucrative, fun businesses versus hard, annoying, lame, and frustrating. Joe Polish coined this term decades ago on his I Love Marketing podcast. So the stuff that I put in my course is basically 26 years of my life experience in my own businesses. I've built 3 businesses, by the way, that have exceeded more than $1 million in sales. I've built other businesses that did nothing. I've also spent a lot of time with loads of other entrepreneurs. I've been to retreats. I've been to learning events, all those things. So everything in there essentially guides you to a place where, look, if you want to start a business, let's do it. Great. I love the idea. here's the things that I would recommend you do, and here's the things that I would recommend you stay away from. So kind of like my 20 red flag chapter, mm-hmm. there's certain things that would be ideal to stay away from. Like if you need to move a physical product as part of your business, you're going to have to procure it probably from Alibaba, get it from China. Then you got to pay for a large pallet, ship it over. Then you got to store it. You might put it in Amazon FBA. Some people are going to complain that it got broken when it arrived. Maybe it didn't arrive. Maybe somebody stole it. You have all these unique set of problems that come with moving a physical product, which you don't with a service business, you don't with a recurring revenue service business mm-hmm. where somebody subscribes to the service over several months, which you don't with a information-based business, you know, like a course, for example. So you can engineer a very good business if you take a pragmatic, intelligent approach to doing the right things when you create the business. So that's why I built the course.
And you just go to your website, you go to courses and sign up.
Yeah. It's only open until May the 6th, though, but I open it up every quarter.
Okay, awesome. Awesome. We'll have that in there, and it's up right now. I mean, obviously, it's worth it. And then last thing, what's the red pill? At first, I thought it was modafinil. I really did. I was like, we get along. I like modafinil.
Is it a red pill now?
No. The movie with Bradley Cooper, Limitless.
Modafinil.
Yeah.
It's like an anti-drowsy pill, right? It's supposed to create focus.
Yes. Yeah,
I've tried it a few times. I didn't like it.
Yeah, you got to take the motor alert one.
Yeah, so the red pill itself is essentially from the movie The Matrix. And there's a scene in the movie which is iconic at this stage where he presents Neo with a red pill and a blue pill. You take the blue pill, you go back to sleep, you sleepwalk through life, everything's fine, you don't notice any of this stuff. You take the red pill, we go down the rabbit hole and we see how far we can unplug you from all the lies and the bullshit that are out there. So all that the red pill is, and now there's all these different versions of pills. Everybody has an ego investment in some new BS that they're trying to sell you, the yellow pill, the orange pill, the white pill, the purple pill. There's truth and there's lies in life. You know, if you want to distill it down for simplicity's sake, and that's all the red pill is, just the cold hard truth, and the blue pill is lies.
Yeah, I really did. At first, I thought it was the, because the brand name is Provigil. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, you that's know, it. Yeah, right, yeah.
Until I read the book, and that was a great way to explain it. And then you also have another, not last, just what we're getting to, is your other YouTube channel, The Playbook. I call it The Playbook. You know, now how did, you already got two running. You know, three, how whatever order they came. Tell us about that one. We have it up on the screen here.
Yeah, so the two main YouTube channels, which you'll find on my website at richcooper.ca, are the Entrepreneurs in Cars channel, which is now mostly me just doing talking head videos in my car about topics that I think are interesting for men. And then the second channel is the Unplugged Alpha channel, which is really just built on the book. You know, the book is called The Unplugged Alpha. I like the idea of podcasting, and I figured why not build on the book with a podcast? And that's what it is. It's just a weekly podcast. It's on at 8 p.m. Eastern on Monday nights, and I take call-ins on each podcast because people like to ask questions.
That's awesome. Yep. And then Total Debt Freedom, that's the one that you killed things with. Congratulations on that.
That's the business from 2003.
Yeah, 2003. Yeah,
still own it. It's been around for 20 years. My brother actually runs it now, yeah.
And didn't you take a quarter billion out of debt
at least a quarter billion, probably more now, of unsecured credit card debt that's been settled for Canadians through that company.
Wow.
I don't want to keep you too long. I know you're a busy guy, but just in brief, how in the hell did you do that? And congratulations.
A lot of work. 20 years of work, man.
Good answer,
20
man.
Years of work, yeah.
And what do you have coming in? What do you have coming up in the future? What do you got cooking?
What do I got cooking? Well, go to the website because that's where you'll get the first announcements on anything that I'm really cooking up. But this year, I'm doing some revisions on the first book just to update it with some stuff. So there'll be a first edition update. And I got a follow-up book coming out later on this year, probably in December.
Are you coming to the States anytime soon? I don't know if you really want to.
I'm going down for a pig hunt next month. I'm going down to Texas with some friends to shoot some hogs.
Oh, cool.
I travel quite a bit. I got a couple of rallies that I'm doing this summer. We usually drive down through the Appalachian with about, 80 friends. And we do this long, long ass road trip. It's a lot of fun, but I'm always open to travel. I mean, if anybody wants me at an event or something like that, just hit me up on the website.
Awesome. We'll have all this in the description along with all your other social media. And just a personal question, how different is every day in Canada versus every day in the States as the States turn to total shit?
It's colder, probably wetter, more woke, and
More woke there than
everything.
here?
Oh yeah, way more woke than Florida, dude.
Wow.
Everything costs more and you're tax heavier, so there's that.
More than
But
the
it's safer. It's
more.
safer.
Oh, you mean they can't? Oh, you can't shoot somebody and get bail. That's about
Yeah.
it, right? Everything else is
That's about
worse.
it. The rest of it sucks though.
All right, man. Thank you, Rich, so much for your time. I'd love to have you on again. Maybe I could grab you when
All right,
you're
boys.
shooting some pigs. Thank
All
you for your
right, we'll see you
time.
guys later.
Great everything. Thank
Thanks, man.
you.
Cheers.
This episode is sponsored by Aurora. Do you know what the fastest growing crime in America is? For years, this crime rate has been surging and affecting millions of Americans. I'm talking about identity theft, and there's a new victim every 14 seconds. Yet despite this, those who have had their identity stolen are often shocked when it happens. That's why I'm excited to partner with Aurora, who is sponsoring this video. Aurora is identity theft protection, fraud monitoring, a VPN, password management, and antivirus software all into one easy-to-use app. Their VPN allows you to stay anonymous online by keeping your browsing history and personal information safe and encrypted. Protect you and your family from America's fastest-growing crime. Try Aurora for free for 2 weeks and see if you or anyone in your family's personal information has been compromised. Start your free trial today. Go to aurora.com/MSCS. The link is in the description below.